I think they like you, Steve.
Just remember Thursday. Can you remember Thursday?
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
No place to go, darling. My baby, yes, I'm going.
Am I gonna send? This is show number 9.
I'm with you. I like 1,000. I like 1,247.
1,177?
Yeah, I like that.
It's his fault.
Now totally Justin's on fault. My list.
6:09. Welcome to another very busy show. Governor Rauner after 7. After his big win yesterday at the Supreme Court. Now, if he treats it like his big win, he's going to lose. So we'll ask him about that, amongst other things. Pat Brady, Eric Edelstein, Ice Cube. Those three are often said in the same sentence. Ice Cube talking about this 3-on-3 league. Did you watch any of it?
I did. Last year. It was great. It's a half-court 3-on-3 fast-paced basketball.
Because here's
league.
What happens. We all play 5-on-5.
Right.
And you get to a certain point where you start playing 3-on-3. Then maybe you go 1-on-1, then you start shooting threes, you play horse.
And you start playing video games.
Uh-huh. Well, no, after horse, you get tired enough where you only play cat because there's only three letters. I get to a point where I only played vowels, A-E-I-O and U. Ice Cube is the founder of the Big Three. It's a Big Three, right?
It's a Big Three, mm-hmm. And it's all former NBA players.
Yeah.
It's kind of fun to see your favorites out there on the court.
And would we call Carlos Boozer a NBA favorite?
I wouldn't say favorite if you talk to Bulls fans.
Yeah, that's a no.
Yeah. You might talk to Jazz fans. Yeah, they
favorite,
might think so.
How about this? Favorite player slash amateur rapper? Carlos Boozer.
I never heard his work.
He's got some great. Joe, you should find it. There's some great. When he was in Chicago, he must have booked some studio
time. How is his rhyme? How are his rhymes?
It's kind of like how he played.
About as good as his defense.
Choppy. Yeah, mediocre.
Choppy. swap meet later. We'll tell you all about that. And you can get your stuff, evaluated and valuized. Is that a word? I think so.
It is now.
And David Hochberg will be in to yell at 6:11. Let's do the top six.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
With the top 6 at 6, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
I always thought the Janus case and the public sector union case would be the big news out of the Supreme Court yesterday. Then about an hour later, Justice Anthony Kennedy, 30 years beyond his appointment to the Supreme Court and his approval on his ascension to the Supreme Court, he's out. He's done. He's going to be out at the end of July. Here's the interesting thing about this. We don't know why he's leaving right now, do we?
Yeah, he's 81 years old, so maybe it's just he wants to live out his life.
Have a bit of a life.
But you're right. I mean, most of the time, Supreme Court justices are going to do their best to die in office or die in the.
Well, the other part too is you think just out of a sense of a separate but equal and fairness of everything, you'd wait till after the election.
Yeah,
maybe so. That's the case he wanted to go out on, though.
Like a mic drop?
Yeah.
A case drop?
He mic dropped on the losing the public employees.
I heard yesterday there was a precedent that apparently Robert, one of the other Supreme Court justices, I can't remember who it was, but he retired on the last day of the term as well, and that's who he replaced.
I see.
Was that Judge Judy?
No, I can't remember who it was that
whoever
Kennedy
he replaced. Wapner replaced.
Judge Wapner?
Yeah. 70s or 80s. Yeah.
And boy, I couldn't be a bigger fan of Mitch McConnell. I thought when Harry Reid ran the Senate, there wouldn't be a bigger weasel in Washington. Mitch McConnell's actually surpassed him And yesterday, Mitch McConnell, who was he thrown off the show, or did we just have an ugly ending?
You had an ugly ending.
Yeah.
It's classic. Mitch, you can get it at WGNradio.com if you want.
And Mitch, just search ugly ending.
Search ugly ending Mitch McConnell.
I think everybody would vote for you to proactively throw him off the show, though.
Yeah, Mitch McConnell, who changed the Senate rules, which therefore changed the potential of who's going to make the Supreme Court roster forever. Changed to 50 votes and then made this just this nonsense rule that in the last year of a president's term, he can't pick a Supreme Court justice. Right. And at the time with Mitch, I said, so it's 7 years instead of eight? No, that's not it. That's not it. Well, what is it then, wizard? And he doesn't have an answer. He didn't have an answer then, doesn't have an answer now. So here's the answer they came up with yesterday. This isn't really an election year. Because it's not a presidential year, so that rule doesn't apply. Yet the majority of Congress is up for grabs this year in the separate but equal branch. So how is this not as important?
I feel that if this would have gone the way it should have gone, and Merrick Garland would have been confirmed as a Supreme Court justice.
And by the way, he would have been a very moderate justice, and then, he would have voted both ways.
And in this case, Trump would be able to put in one of his own Supreme Court picks, then we are in the same position we're in right now. I feel now you're in a position where the country will be changed in the way that it won't be as reflective of the country we live in with the way the Supreme Court makeup will be.
That's certainly the concern. We'll talk more about that after 7 o'clock as well. Next, Chicago Teachers Union President Vice President Jesse Sharkey said the U.S. Supreme Court's decision on major organized labor is an attack on public sector unions across the whole country. Attack might be, you know, in the eye of the attacker, the eye of the beholder. Some people feel it's right. Some people feel it's really wrong. It certainly weakens public unions because it takes money away, and money is power, and that could lead to potential changes in other ways. Did I mention we have a huge pension problem, which is not about yesterday, but we have a huge pension problem. Did I mention that at all?
You did. I think you mentioned that yesterday.
Andy, no pension for you.
Fine.
And don't we also have a huge billionaires problem, though, too?
They go hand in hand.
I'm telling you. Don't you want to go, why would I vote for either one of you knuckleheads? You're spending all this money. I mean, we're talking about $200 million for this job.
Yeah.
It's $100 million plus a piece, right?
It's the most spent in the history of Illinois.
They could put that money right into the system.
Yeah.
Solve some of our problems. And then
I bet you wouldn't even have to go back too far to find less than that spent on the presidential race.
Well, this is the rub is that this is the 1 year that the influence of labor, the money that they would use that they can't use now, that doesn't have as much influence because it's a self-financed campaign.
And $100 million would go a long way for a lot of things, but it's their money. I'm just not sure that you want to vote for people that are willing to throw $100 million at a $200,000 a year job. Where every day you're told you suck.
It makes you wonder why they want the job.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Motive. I think we might have seen it yesterday with Governor Rauner.
Next. And by the way, we had J.B. Pritzker on the show at the end of the show yesterday, and it was quick. Didn't answer a lot of questions, so we're going to have him back. And I believe he's coming back, right?
Sure.
Unless he goes and finds out who I am. That interview online right now? At WGNradio.com. The quack means, I have to tell you now, that Joe Jackson died yesterday at 89 years old, the father of the Jacksons, who was, I think he was a construction guy. He was a construction guy with a band, and his band never made it, so he started living through the kids, and the kids became the Jackson Five and the Jackson family.
In any other situation, you would think that this would be a day of reflecting on his legacy and what a great man to create such great talent. But there have been so many stories about abuse and what he did to his family to make that happen that it's a tarnished legacy at best.
Yeah, I mean, I have friends that I didn't know Michael. I know Janet a little bit, but I didn't know him to sit down and go, tell me about Dad.
Yeah.
But the stories about Joe are hideous.
It's a Lifetime movies. The VH1 movies did it. When we watch all that, we're like, what?
Those are all true, right?
Yeah, they have to be. Mm-hmm. It's VH1. It has to be.
All right, I'm just checking. Next. What'd you say?
One of our producers here, Jasmine, ran into Joe Jackson on the street when he was here for her concert. So she posted a picture of him yesterday when he passed away.
Oh. Was he nice to her?
They spoke briefly. She was surprised he was not with an entourage of security. I don't think people are going after Joe Jackson.
He always had that little thin mustache.
Yeah, he had it in her photo, so...
There's this. The House resoundingly rejected a far-reaching bill that would have protected Dreamers. as the immigration fight continues. Oh, it also would have funded the border wall and made significant changes to legal immigration, so that fight continues. I can't believe the Mexican folks aren't calling back to say where the money is, because, you know, the Mexicans are going to pay for the border wall. You guys knew that, right?
Yeah, I heard that.
Resoundingly is a tame word. That was one of the more lopsided votes in recent House.
Yeah, I got thumped.
I was thinking about this. We need to get, like, a Statue of Liberty down there on that.
Oh, that's true. On the border.
Yeah, on the border,
That's a great idea.
Something a little more, you know, like... Yeah. We'll take your people, you know, a little more positive.
Give us your tired, your sunburn, and give us your children, and we'll see if we can get them back.
Yeah.
You have kids being ripped away from a mom. Would that not be an inspiration?
How do you get that on a plaque? You got to get that on a plaque at the base of the statue.
I do like that idea, though. Yeah, and I like the idea that the French would build it and give it to us as a gift.
They could send it over on a ship.
Right. That's what I'm talking about. Next. Yeah, let's go live to Andy, who is at, where are you at, Wrigley?
Sure.
All right, what's up with Chris Bosio?
Apparently made some insensitive comments to a Tigers employee. Got back to management, and management said that, that kind of voids your contract, and you're out of here.
Is it an employee of color?
Believe so. Mm. It was it hasn't come out officially who that person was, but it's believed to be.
Let's go live to Joe for additional information on this. Joe covers the sports world when he's not working on this show. Joe, what do you know about the Chris Bosio story?
I actually don't know much other than that the Tiger Stadium is Comerica Park. So that's where Andy is.
Oh, yeah, it'd be Comerica Park. I'm in the outfield beyond the center field wall.
And Chris Bosio, Chicago connections or what?
He was with the Cubs pitching coach for the last six seasons. Was with them, obviously. He gets a lot of credit for turning Jake Arrieta's career around and some other pitchers as well with the 2016 team.
Will he work again?
You know, that's going to be a tough one to come back from.
I mean, what he did.
Yeah, unless, you know, obviously, again, as Justin said, it depends on exactly what the situation was. But this kind of stuff sticks with you unless you get out there and get ahead of it and try to apologize for it.
Baseball doesn't seem to be that PC of a league in the way that I can see Chris Bosio quickly getting a job. That's not front-facing, meaning he's very talented.
You've been in the bigs forever. Yeah. You know this game better than any of us do. Will he get work?
Yeah, I think he will. It's an old boys network. I mean, he knows too many managers and too many
front offices,
and he's very talented,
Okay. And? Quack! Where are the drunks in Illinois? You ready? Rockford had the most DUI arrests in 2017, but listen up. Elgin, Aurora, Naperville, and some other suburbs also made the top 10 in the state list. We should probably go over the whole 10, right? The top 10 list? You know where the liquored are? Liquored, ED? it's an Uber, it's a Lyft.
It seems logical.
It's a neighbor.
It only seems logical because you're not going to put... Chicago probably is in that list, but there's so many ways to get around with taxis and Ubers to go short distances. But if you're in Aurora and you're at the bar and you got to go 25 minutes to your house, I could see people going, that's a $20... get behind the wheel.
Well, I think if you're in Naperville, you've offered to drive people, right?
So I have, to the summer house.
Because you've got the Tahoe.
I have the Tahoe. I just strap you to the roof rack or throw you in the back. We had some friends. By extension, this couple were coming from, I think, like an all-day Cubs game situation and then like a city festival, and then they were coming out to Naperville for something. And they were loaded because they'd been drinking all day. They took an Uber from the city.
Yeah.
It was $114,000 to Naperville, but they weren't driving.
We always take Ubers from the city. And I don't care if it's $130, because sometimes with the surcharges, a DUI could be death and $5,000 or $10,000.
Yeah. So. Yeah, a lot more expensive. Top 6 brought to you by, you say it.
That's all today for the Top 6 and 6.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
We'll find out what movie Nick's mom and dad went to with Nick, and also find out what's on Nick's mind. He's cranky. Nick's pop culture crank report coming up in a second as well.
He is Nick at night, DiGiulio. He knows what shows are good, what's stinking. He's the only one who's in the know. I need to know what Nick is thinking. I need to know what Nick is.
Good morning, Nick.
Good morning.
So here's today's text question. What's the worst way to start a conversation with someone? Here's why I bring this up. Somebody tried this with me. Love ya, but.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So,
all I was trying to say, Steve, was
worst. It wasn't Justin. Worst way to start a conversation. Love you. Well, but you got one.
Here's what I get. Here's what I get, Steve. A lot from like people who are who listen. Mm-hmm. They go, "Hey, I listen all the time. I don't always agree with you, but I listen all the time."
I don't want you to enjoy the compliment too much.
Yeah.
What movie did you see with your mom and dad?
We saw Jurassic World, the new Jurassic World movie. I thought it was, I think it's the best of all the Jurassic movies.
Update me. Are you a fan?
No.
That's what I thought.
I think that, that they're kind of fun and everything, but this one is just so bat crap crazy that by the fourth ridiculous plot twist and the fact that the last 45 minutes is like a gothic horror movie with dinosaurs instead of vampires, I was on board throughout this whole thing. My thing about these movies is this. When I go and see one of these movies, here's what I want to see. I want to see people being eaten by dinosaurs. I don't care about the plot.
Yep.
I don't care about the acting. I don't care about the dialogue. I want people to be chewed on by dinosaurs graphically.
It's dino porn.
Nailed it.
Just get to it.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what? They get to it big time in this. There are some major quality kills and quality people getting eaten in this.
Here's the thing I don't understand, though, and somebody else brought this up, and then I saw it myself in the trailers, because I haven't seen the movie.
Yeah, we were talking about last week. Yeah.
Were you bringing this up?
Yeah, about the psychological, the dinosaur that goes in and creeps into the girl's room in the trailer. And you're like, they would just eat. I don't understand. They would just eat the
dinosaurs aren't subtle. They don't sneak in.
Well, that was established in the first movie when the raptors were stalking those kids. It was like a Friday the 13th movie.
Right,
they were like stalking them through the kitchen of the summer camp, and so that's been an element with every chapter that's followed, and that was just established in the first movie. But this one, the opening scene, like three people get eaten, and like the bad guys. And what another thing I loved about this movie was that even guys that you think are good guys turn out to be bad guys. So there's like 20 bad guys, which means that's 20 people who are going to get eaten.
So you love that part.
I do, man. Yeah, I was all over it. We saw it in the big IMAX. It was loud and crazy. My parents had a good time. We had a blast.
Did your dad do the dinosaur noises that he does? He's famous for it. Did he do that throughout the movie?
Throughout the entire movie, and he was starting to get people angry.
All right, now, each week, whenever I talk to you, I try to find out what's bugging you in pop culture this week. Anything really on the annoyance list?
Yeah, there's too much damn TV. Too much.
You're exactly right about that. Yeah.
And let me just explain something to you. I pride myself on someone who is a loser and watches way too much TV, but I can't watch way too much TV because there's way too much TV.
Yeah, you go, how do I pick this? How do I pick that? Your DVR's got 900 hours backed up already, and there's no more room.
Let me just give you a few numbers here, and this is for real. This is for real. This is just Netflix. This is just Netflix. Each week, they debut, and I'm talking about each week. Each week, they debut two big shows, whether it's, like Arrested Development coming back or a brand new show, two big shows. Each week, they debut 5 to 10 international shows that they've picked up elsewhere that they will debut. Each week, they debut at least two comedy specials, whether it's a stand-up or a comedy special. At least 5 Netflix movies a week, which brings the total of new programming a week just from Netflix over 50 items a week.
Wow.
Yeah, what are you supposed to do? And that's just Netflix.
No, exactly.
That's not your Hulu.
That's not even.
It's not your Amazon.
Right. It's not even network TV. And there's a bunch of stuff on network TV. Listen, last night, Big Brother debuted. That's 3 nights a week for me.
Right.
Sitting in front of the TV watching that for 3 nights.
Now, there is one suggestion I might make, and you can tell me I'm crazy. Maybe watch less TV.
That's not an option, my man.
When's your next movie?
The next movie is July 10th, Tuesday, July 10th, part of Zemeckis Fest as it continues. Robert Zemeckis won Best Director. Tom Hanks won Best Actor. It won Best Picture. It's Forrest Gump. $10. Parking is free. Get there at 7. We'll have some food. 8 o'clock, I'll introduce the movie. We'll talk about it afterwards. And you can go to amctheaters.com for tickets. It's at the AMC Rosemont 18, formerly Movie Co. And seats are available right now to reserve at amctheaters.com.
And I assume you and your parents will see Sicario this weekend?
Yes, we are. Absolutely.
Okay. Should be fun for your mom. Thank you, buddy. That's Nick DiGilio. Now on 1 a.m. 1 a.m. till 5 a.m. Every night. And sounding great as always. Back with the headlines in a moment on 720 WGN.
Listen to Pat Brady. Listen to Pat Brady. He's really going to blow your mind because he's seldom wrong. Just right. Yeah. Listen to Pat Brady.
641, Pat Brady's here, and I thought for sure, you know, we'd be talking about the Janus decision primarily, but we got to talk about Anthony Kennedy.
Yeah, big news, big political week.
Anthony Kennedy, who hated being called the swing vote, was in fact that in many occasions, and he has decided he is going to be out, stepping down by the end of July, which creates another opening for Trump to choose another justice. The Democrats are panicking. The Republicans are giggling in the corner. Before we get to the worry, why do you think Kennedy's leaving now?
I really don't know, but I don't think it's unusual in the time, and it was into the term and he left, but he's had a long, distinguished career, maybe just wants to go. I don't really have an answer.
I mentioned this to Justin. I thought, you know, you wait till after the election.
Yeah,
I mean, maybe if you've been there 30 years, what's another 5 months?
I don't know. He's voted as a justice on both sides of the political spectrum, so I'm not sure how political he is. Maybe he's just tired of it. I can't give him motives that I don't know, but it's going to give President Trump another pick, and it's going to be interesting to see who he picks.
It is admirable in the fact that he doesn't care about politics. He's a judge, and he's like, I go when I go.
Is that true, or can we create a conspiracy theory here that he got out now before the election so that Trump would have an opportunity to pick a Republican, a conservative?
Maybe justices, you might say that, but not with him. He's been so independent. I mean, he was the vote on the swing vote on gay marriage, and he's been on the left side of a couple of big issues, including the death penalty issue for death penalty for juveniles. So I just don't think so. And I know Alan Dershowitz was on Roe yesterday just screaming and yelling about how politicized the court is. I just don't believe it's that political. There is some politics, but I don't believe it's political that he's going to make that calculation. I mean, Trump's not that popular with most people at his intellectual level.
You saw this a little bit with the replacement of Scalia, the need to find somebody who reflected his politics or reflected at least his vote or where he came from. Do you think it'll be the same with Trump? Does he at least look at someone who might be independent, who might be
let me add to that.
Is it just going to be straight up conservative?
Because here's the thing. The Republicans have a chance to do something they haven't done in a long time, and that's be honorable and try to find another Justice Kennedy type. Is there any chance they'll do that?
Why would they? I mean, this is we have elections, and we elected a Republican president. He supposedly, I don't think he is a conservative. Why would he? I mean, that's why
you do it because you're going to do the right thing because of what you just said, that Kennedy is an honorable guy. You know, this is the thing about
Scalia.
Well,
you can be an honorable conservative, too. I mean, a lot of people
believe... thing about Scalia and Gorsuch. Scalia was is it the originalist? Is that the term?
No, constitutionalist? He believes that you read the Constitution,
and you interpret the Constitution specifically from the words in it. So what did they do? They didn't interpret the Constitution, and Mitch McConnell said, the president doesn't get to pick. Nonsense.
Well, listen, I completely agree with you. We had this debate a year ago on McConnell's behavior and not allowing the vote. Mark Kirk was one of the first and foremost people in the country, Senator Kirk at the time, and I completely agree. And that they've screwed this process up so badly, now you only need 51 votes, and that's Harry Reid. But back to your original point, the strict people that strictly interpret the Constitution, the conservatives, which Trump is not one of, but the conservative view, I completely agree with. Neil Gorsuch that's his viewpoint. And this is, we have a Republican Senate and a Republican president. We have every right to pick who the people chose. The people put us in the majority of the whole country. And I fully support. Now, I don't want him to appoint Judge Judy or something like that.
How about Rush? Hannity?
Hannity.
Well, I know that that's such an insane thought, but this is a different time and a different political
another thing.
But what if it is someone who comes up that doesn't have the qualifications or is someone who's more celebrity than judge?
Then don't approve him. That's the beauty of the Constitution.
Do you believe that the Republicans and would even behind closed doors say we're not going to approve this kind of person?
Yeah, because it goes through the Senate, and the Senate's much less in tune with the next election. They are doing the right thing, and Chuck Grassley heads that committee. I do think they will do the right thing. Voters aren't stupid. You put Judge Judy in there, it's going to be a mockery of the process and a mockery of the president.
I don't think Judy would take it.
She's making too much money.
Yeah, well, she's making a ton of money.
I would have said that. I would have said that 2 years ago. But I feel like right now with the political process, you're seeing a lot of people who may not be qualified or may be more celebrity than they are politician, or even we've talked about that on this program.
Sure.
So the question is, as much as we go, that's outrageous, that's ludicrous, I don't think so.
Well, let's look at the history when Lyndon Johnson tried to put Abe Fortas in there, or when George Bush tried to put his chief, his general counsel in there. It was shot down in the media before they even got to the point of actually going through the process. Plus, they have to go through hearings. We've all watched Clarence Thomas hearings. I mean, you think the Democrats are going to sit back and not skewer anybody they don't think is qualified? So I do believe in this system. I think Mitch McConnell perverted it with the last go-around, but I believe it works, and I think Donald Trump has every right to put a very conservative justice in there.
And the Democrats, have they got any parliamentary moves that they could make that you're aware of?
No, they changed the process to allow it to make it much easier. So, you know, Harry Reid...
I said that at the top of the show. I thought I'd never see a bigger creep than Harry Reid, and then Mitch McConnell took over.
Yeah, and Chuck Todd was on a couple weeks ago, or a couple months ago, where he said the Senate has been so changed, it's not functioning how it has traditionally, which has actually served the country pretty well. We've had some pretty good Supreme Court justices, in my opinion. So we'll see, but I hopefully the president will make a more measured judgment than what some people are talking about right now.
And by the way, this may not be the last one. The notorious RBG, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, is 85.
Elections have consequences, and during the campaign, one of the things you would hear from the people that didn't particularly care for Trump but believed that we need a conservative Supreme Court voted for him just for these reasons.
It should not be a lifetime appointment.
It should be.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
No, well, if you don't do the lifetime, then you run into politics, yeah, money, everything that goes into reelect, and the campaign is what they're trying to avoid.
It's not a reelection. It's an appointment, and there should be an appointment every 10 years.
That's I disagree.
Well, how many 85-year-old judges have you seen? How many 85-year-old people have you seen that go, I cannot wait to get to work today? I absolutely can't wait to get in and tackle some of those briefs.
She's still pretty sharp.
Well, she's fine.
She was in town last year. I thought she was pretty sharp.
As an example, at 80 years old, and the justices generally get to 80, you probably need to go have some fun with your life and get out. Shouldn't be a lifetime appointment. It's just one of the many things you're wrong about. It's 6:48. Car today. Well, apparently the band had to leave. They may have had another gig. Any chance the band's coming back? Or are we moving forward? We're moving forward.
Moving forward, yeah.
More from the Cars for Kids band later. If you want to book them, contact Justin. He does all of their bookings.
They're great. We love them. You can get them for parties.
52, Rick Pearson, finest political writer in America, the host of the Sunday Spin, joins us now. Did you pull the plug on the Cars for Kids?
I did not touch it. Absolutely not.
Okay.
No.
All right. So we got a ton to discuss here, but let's start with the obvious one, and that is Justice Kennedy. Is there anything from a news standpoint in the last 24 that we don't know?
Not really. It's just going to be this continued debate that Democrats are raising the issue of Senate Republican Leader Mitch McConnell saying that there shouldn't be a vote on a Supreme Court justice nominee in an election year. And of course, that was dealing with Obama's pick and the delay that Republicans in the Senate did then. Democrats are saying the same should hold true. McConnell saying, I was speaking about presidential years. I was not speaking about midterms.
Just the worst. Just go back in your shell. It's just ridiculous.
And we're going to just keep seeing that debate playing out for quite some time until we actually get a nominee from the president.
From the people you speak to, is it generally believed that Trump would pick from the list of 25 that Gorsuch came from?
Correct. And already in some swing states, we've already got independent advertising campaigns going on supportive of the president, like in Florida, places where Democrat senators are potentially vulnerable, telling them to pick another fine justice like Neil Gorsuch.
There is a judge here in Chicago that's considered a shortlister, unless I'm making that up. A female judge? I don't have the name in front of me. I'll see if I can find it before the end of the segment, because you may know.
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure. I mean, obviously, you get a lot of rumors at this time about judges outside the list, but it's pretty much believed that Trump will stick with his list.
Am I on the list?
You're not on the list.
It's good, because that robe makes me chafe. It's very hot underneath that robe.
I don't know that you would want to. I don't know that you'd want to sit for some of the oral arguments that exist in that chamber.
Governor Rauner's coming up with us after 7. The Janus decision yesterday. He made. He's been in Washington all week, and he made statements on the steps of the Supreme Court. After, did he say anything that sounded like a touchdown dance?
Well, that's definitely by going out to D.C. That was a victory lap and kind of an interesting rejoining of Republican forces here. Joining him on the steps was the head of the Illinois Policy Institute, and they had gotten into quite a snit back a year ago. When,
yeah, I thought they were done. They back together. They broke up. Now they're together again.
Now they're together again, apparently, yes.
Bad idea.
And, John Tillman, the head of the Policy Institute, talking what a fine job that Governor Rauner has done in his leadership over this issue of union rights and the Supreme Court striking down the requirement that non-union members pay a fair share or agency fee to unions, a very significant case that has nationwide ramifications for organized labor.
The public unions in Springfield asked me, also the Chicago Teachers Union here, they've talked, they've all come out. What's the tone right now, Rick, in Springfield among lawmakers and among the public union sector?
Well, among the public union sector, one is now kind of basically I think more of a retrenchment mode, and I'll have the head of the Federation of Teachers as well as the Service Employees International Union Healthcare Workers on the Sunday Spin to talk about this. But there seems to be in states where union rights have been kind of struck down, like in Wisconsin, Michigan, that there's been more of a retrenchment and a focus on expanding membership development, and less money that would normally be devoted to political activities, and more to try to keep a significant base. There's talk of at least 10% or more loss in membership to unions as a result of this ruling. And so now it's a matter of trying to keep their numbers and then work from that. So, you know, the very kind of interesting aspect here is that even though those fair share payments from non-union members were not supposed to go to union activities, the Supreme Court ruled that basically everything that a union, public employees union, does has a political nature to it. And so now unions, of course, being traditional allies of the Democratic Party, that hurts the Democratic Party significantly. The one advantage they do have this time around is with a billionaire, J.B. Pritzker, running for office, and someone who can basically perhaps fill in some of the gap that the unions would provide to Democratic candidates.
Pat, say hi to Rick.
Hey, Rick,
how about you? Say hi to him now.
Hey, Rick, how you doing?
Good morning, Pat.
All right, give me a prediction. What is the actual political fallout on this long term? Does this really diminish? Because, I mean, you've been around. You see how powerful they are. They get their people out on Election Day in addition to the money. Is this going to be as impactful as everybody thinks it is?
Long term, I think it could be. Short term, I have a real question about the benefits here of who is benefited by the ruling. I mean, certainly there is an aspect of conservatives that would be supportive of this move, and that might help some of the reunification effort by Governor Rauner. But at the same time, you look at public employees unions, they have a large share of their constituency, of their membership, are women, are minorities. This could be a motivating force for Democrats with a core constituency among African Americans, for example, of people voting with anger. And as a motivator, to me, anger always kind of trumps just being supportive of somebody.
Well, so anger creates turnout, right? And turnout's always low in a midterm, so maybe there's more now.
And that's the real debate, and I think, you know, it probably tends to go with the anger side. So most immediately, this could benefit Democrats more than Republicans.
All right. I don't even know if you know the answer to this. For folks that choose to not be a part of the union, where do they get their benefits? That the union would normally, the benefits the union would normally provide. Point being, and this is probably the better first question, if people aren't contributing to the union, they're not going to get the benefits of the union, I would assume.
No, that's not correct.
That's not correct.
That's not correct. I mean, the ruling was basically that whether you're in the union or not, in that bargaining unit, you're still entitled to the same benefits.
Well, that's not fair.
The analysis, the court's analysis was they balanced the First Amendment rights of free speech, and they couldn't segregate when the line of negotiation and actual political activity and the compelling interest there was to protect the first. This is a First Amendment decision. It's not.
I understand that, but AFSCME, I think, now has a legal case that they can take this forward and go, why are we paying for
benefits? They don't.
People?
Supreme Court said no.
Yeah, there is no. That's the whole bottom line, and Pat's right. The ruling was that, and this overturned a 41-year-old decision by the Supreme Court, and the court basically said that was an outmoded and faulty decision because trying to draw the line of between political and non-political activity of a public employees union is impossible to do because things like trying to bargain for higher wages, higher benefits, ultimately affect what the taxpayers pay and what state budgets and local budgets would pay. And, you know, here, for example, this was not exactly if you're on the union side, this was not a great case to involve Illinois, given the state's fiscal position, which Justice Alito cited a couple of times in his ruling.
Rick, Sunday on the Sunday Spin, by the way, that should make it fun at work for AFSCME members. The guy next to you pays $900 or $1,000 a year, and you don't pay anything. That should be fun.
That's exactly the issue right here.
Yeah, there you go.
Or they just quit.
Sunday Spin with Rick Pearson. That's get your Sunday off on the right foot. Thank you, buddy.
Thank you.
And again, Rap 30 on Twitter. And don't forget, of course, the Chicago Tribune. Nobody's better than Pearson. He writes, and he gets all the punctuation right, and knows what to capitalize.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
Microphone button. There we go. And it is 7:07. We got a couple more technical situations we're working on here. We checked out the apartment building next door, by the way, this morning.
It's very sunny.
The apartment building next door, there's people that don't close their blinds. There's a shirtless guy who eats cereal. There's a couple of women here who leave their blinds open while they get dressed.
The slow exerciser?
He was at it again.
Yeah, he did it. Yeah. He's done.
And by slow exerciser, we mean a guy who exercises slowly.
Yes.
Yeah. 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 He does like a jumping jack.
No, he doesn't leave the ground. I want to make
while he's on the ground.
Yeah. Leans on the window. That's a stretch.
He's a window leaner.
I mean, I hesitate to talk about folks that, you know, that are there because they're entertaining for us, and I don't want to close down the video game that has become The View.
I saw somebody walking their baby, like,
back and forth
pacing
in the apartment.
Yeah. I think they were trying to get him to go back to sleep. But the sun is, you know, going right into their window, so they should close the blinds so the baby thinks it's nighttime.
Speaking of baby, reminds me of toddler, which, of course, Abigail Grace, the world's greatest grandchild. She's 2.5, and she's turning into more of a little girl every time I see her. So yesterday, she is sitting next to me on our bed, and we're watching hockey. It was the World Cup, but she calls all sports hockey.
Sure, sure.
And
she's not wrong.
She liked the red team. And while we're sitting there, she goes, "I'm cold." So I pull the comforter on her. I think I'm doing the, you know, the grandfather thing. I pull the comforter on her. I get the comforter on her. She looks at me. She goes, "I'm not cold."
Changed her mind.
Wow. How female are you at 2.5 years old? Pat Brady, where do you work?
Next Generation Strategies. Thank you.
And Eric Edelstein, nice to see you.
Good to be here.
What do you think of the new place, by the way?
It's gorgeous.
Pretty cool,
beautiful,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we haven't paid our rent, but we like it so far.
Well, Eric just came off the tour of colleges.
I did.
You know, he took his daughter.
And did we pick one?
Nope.
He did a ridiculous thing, 26 colleges in 4 days.
700 colleges in 3 days, something like that.
And Steve, all colleges that you and I had no chance of getting into.
So all of them.
Can I give you my impersonation of every college tour there is?
Sure.
Let us tell you how we're different. And then they proceed to tell you everything you just heard at the previous place.
More of that coming up in a second. Governor Rauner joins us now. I believe he is. Are you back, Governor, from Washington?
Hi, good morning, Steve. Yeah, we got back from D.C. last night.
All right, you've had 24 hours to sleep on it. Comments on the Janus decision?
This is an historic victory for freedom of speech and freedom of political affiliation for public sector employees. And it is a huge historic victory for taxpayers who for too long have suffered under the unfair excessive costs of the interaction between government union leaders and the politicians they negotiate with and help elect. This is massive change.
All right, and you're running for re-election. There's a lot of people listening who don't feel that way. But so let me just read to you from the AFSCME recruitment pamphlet that I have in front of me, and you tell me what you say to these folks. Here it is, word for word. Their goal, they're talking about politicians. AFSCME says, their goal is simple. Privatize our jobs, strip us of our rights, dismantle the public services that make our communities better places to live. Your serve.
Such baloney. This is scare tactics. Ridiculous. So here's the bottom line. All this case is about is whether a public sector employee is forced to pay into a union whose political activity they may not agree with and that they don't support. That's all this is about. Unions will continue to exist. Government unions will continue to exist. Government union leaders will continue to do what they've been doing for decades. All it changes is whether a specific individual has the right not to support a union that they disagree with. That's all it is.
Yeah, I mean, I got off on my own rant yesterday about the pension problem in the state, and I know they aren't interconnected, but in a way, when the union doesn't have enough money and therefore maybe becomes weaker, do they become more likely to negotiate? And would you then sit down with AFSCME if they wanted to talk about a legitimate long-term pension fix?
Yeah, some people try to tie this to negotiations that I've had or whatever. There's no connection. AFSCME will continue to exist and be in government, and while members will negotiate with them in good faith as we always have. I have negotiated in good faith with every government union, and we've come to terms. We've come to agreement with 22 government unions during my administration. So there's no issue of anything about collective bargaining or failure to come to terms or being reasonable. We've been very reasonable. We've cut reasonable deals that are good for workers and taxpayers, and we'll continue to do that.
Governor Rauner, you said just at the beginning of this interview that this was a victory for America or for Illinois taxpayers. How so?
Well, so let's talk about this. The dynamic between government union leaders and politicians is a very, very troubling dynamic. And even President Franklin Delano Roosevelt, who was one of the strongest advocates for unions of any American president, he was a strong advocate. He saw the important distinction between private sector trade unions, which this case does not touch at all. There's no changes at all for private sector trade unions versus government unions. And he was troubled by the government union dynamic interacting with politicians and resulting in things that were against taxpayers and against citizens. And let me give you one example of what's gone on in Illinois about the corruption and conflicts of interest that can occur and have been occurring for years. Imprisoned former Governor Rod Blagojevich, when he was running for governor, he wanted to...
Wait. We got a governor in jail? Hold on a second. All right, go ahead.
When he was running for governor, he wanted the support of the government unions. He specifically asked me. He said, I want your campaign cash. I want you to work for my phone banks, et cetera, which they agreed to do. And in exchange for that, he said, I'll increase your membership. I'll force it up. What did he do? He gets in the office and he goes to all the state employees and he says, hey, guys, I'm the new guy in town. If you join a union, I will give you 4% annual compounder raises while I'm governor. And if you don't join a union, I will not raise your compensation at all. You're locked. You're frozen. He forced thousands, forced by economic threats and extortion, thousands of state employees who didn't want to join a union to join a union so they could have access to wage increases. That is wrong. It's corrupt at its core. It's unfair to state employees, and it's unfair to taxpayers.
Of course, and he's a corrupt governor who's in jail. How do you see it different? Are you going to negotiate to get less deals for state workers? How do you see this playing out? Like, again, back to the idea of the Illinois taxpayer in the way that we will see savings.
So I've negotiated in good faith with every government union since I got into office. I've come to agreement with 22 of the government unions. AFSCME has refused to compromise. AFSCME has demanded $3 billion more in compensation over 4 years. That's been their demand, and they barely budged off of it, and they haven't been willing to change much of anything in the work rules or in the structure. And I said, hey guys, we need to have a different structure for our taxpayers. We should have a different health care plan for you, a health care that's more like what taxpayers have in their own lives, not gold-plated, platinum-plated coverage for bronze rates that's unfair to taxpayers. We got to change that. And I've said, guys, how about if we have a 40-hour work week? Isn't that a novel idea? Instead of 37 and a half hours, taxpayers have worked 40 hours. Government employees should work 40 hours, too. And I had various requests or proposals like that. AFSCME said no, they refused. And so we've been at impasse for 3 years. And they've gone to court. Well, first of all, they went to Madigan and said, hey, this governor is too strong negotiating with on behalf of taxpayers. Get him out of the negotiations. Madigan passed a law to take me out of the contract negotiations and allowed AFSCME the ability to bring in a union-friendly labor arbitrator to give them everything they want. Preposterous.
Well, hold on. Mike Madigan's here and wants to talk to you. I'm kidding. He never shows up. All right, Governor. So here's the deal. J.B. Pritzker came on the show at the end of the show yesterday and said, this is just part of your evil plan. You're going to destroy all unions, and this is the first domino to fall. Organized labor is all over the place this morning, getting together with a full-on assault on you for that same line of thinking. So the benefits to being the incumbent is you can do a lot of things and get a lot of airtime. The negatives to being the incumbent is in a situation like this, you're going to get thumped pretty hard. How, again, we'll end where we started here, how, again, are you going to respond to organized labor saying that you are the evil incarnate?
Absolutely. I am all for workers. I am pro-worker, and I am pro-taxpayer, and this ruling is pro-worker and pro-taxpayer. Unions will continue to do what they do, negotiate, bargain. Government unions will continue to exist. It's purely state employees will now have their constitutional rights protected. They can join the union and fund it if they want to. And great if they do. Terrific. We'll help them do that. But if they don't want to, if they don't agree with the activity or the conflicts of interest or the behavior of the government union, they're not obligated to fund it. That's their right to free speech and free political affiliation. It's the right answer. It's fair, and it's what America is all about.
A lot of this gets really layered, and I don't know what the state's doing to try to educate people on it. Is there a place on the state website you'd send them to so they better understand this?
Well, you can come to Illinois.gov and see the policies. We do have a summary of the ruling. Our lawyers are still studying it. There's a lot of detail in the ruling that just got issued yesterday. But our communication, we are communicating with state employees. The communication is only for state workers. It doesn't go out to the general public. But we're educating them. We notified everyone of the ruling, what it means for them, what their rights are. And now they have the ability to be in a union, stay in a union, join a union if they choose. But if they choose not to, they no longer have to fund. There is no deduction. And it's starting immediately, we will no longer deduct from their paycheck any portion of any union dues if they do not want it deducted.
And the texter, important point before we hang up, a nurse says nurses that doesn't take into account the healthcare workers in this regard. If nurses are working 12 on, 12 off, 12 on, 12 off, and their work week adds up to 37 and a half hours, they're not working 40. They're working their prescribed week's activities. So is there going to be an accommodation for that?
Oh, there's all kinds of accommodations we make. The important thing is that there's a fair structure that's reasonable for our hardworking, wonderful state employees. And we have thousands of terrific, both union and non-union state employees. They do a great job. We need something that's fair and good for them and that's fair for taxpayers. That's what we work for.
Your campaign website is what?
BruceRauner.com.
Okay. $100 million seems like a lot of money to spend on this. You clear this at home?
I'm not sure where you got the numbers.
I'm kidding, Governor. You know. I'll talk to you soon. Thank you for being on.
Thanks, you. Take care.
Take care. And the Steve Cochran Show continues in a moment. We'll ask Mr. Brady and Mr. Edelstein about the governor's comments and ask him about other stuff, including where my wallet is.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
726, we've got a beautiful Chevy truck to give away, the Chevy Silverado. And the Chevy Silverado is Centennial Blue. And later today, Sandberg's going to go over to Channel 9 and steal it.
I am.
And you're going to keep it for a couple of days.
I am.
You're going to drive around. You're going to have the truck out at the Eyes to the Skies thing tomorrow.
Bring it to the festival tomorrow.
So if people come out, they can see it.
Mm-hmm. They can see it, but they can't touch it.
But yeah, they don't want to cross Sandberg.
Hey, do you guys get balloon rides?
Yeah.
I'm putting my kids in a balloon. Yeah.
Yeah, tethered.
Yeah.
But in your case, I'll cut the rope. So here's what we'll do. We celebrated 720 by giving away other stuff.
Well, they should go to WGNradio.com/contest to register to win that Centennial Blue truck that I'll be driving.
Yeah, WGNradio.com, all the information's there?
Yep.
Okay, it's easy, right? It takes less than a minute.
Yeah, it's very easy.
And that way you're in, and listen, you can't win if you don't play. Family pack of four passes, the 11th Annual Blackhawks Convention. What caller do you want to do now there, Pythagoras?
Oh, jeez, let's think about this. So the Hawks have won three Stanley Cups in 7-8 years now. So plus three is 11. Yeah, 11. Divided by 6.5, so 6-4. Let's just do seventh caller.
That sounds right. The Hilton Chicago, July 27th through the 29th. Get your convention passes and book online at chicagoblackhawks.com. Now, we're doing this new thing, and we had a big meeting about this yesterday. And at the top of the hour, we're talking about every morning at 7:20. What is it, Sandberg? What do people tell us?
The most valuable person on the planet.
Most valuable person. And we had a whole...
On the planet.
We had a whole discussion
about... We want to keep saying the word planet for our boss.
Yeah, but we had a whole discussion about most valuable person, most valuable thing... Whatever the case may be.
Just
and I
stuff.
Backed off.
You did back off.
Yeah.
And I hold in my hand the submission for today's most valuable person. Can I open it now?
Yes, you can.
The most valuable person on the planet for today is Mr. Peanut. Mr. Peanut, the Kraft Heinz company, confirmed it's going to relaunch, Planters Cheese Balls, which I used to get called that in high school.
Planters cheese ball.
Yeah, it was very nice. And cheese curls for a limited time only. They're going to be available in just under 3-ounce canisters. Cheese curls will come in the 4-ounce size. They'll sell for $1.99. We heard many impassioned pleas for us to bring cheese balls back, said Planters head of brand marketing, Melanie Hewitt. If anyone had an impassioned plea for cheese balls, I want Homeland Security to round them up now and take them into custody.
People aren't voting in elections, but they're sending those notes to the Planters peanut people. They need to get cheese balls back.
Mr. Peanut. By the way,
my high school yearbook, Dryden High School, upstate New York, 1979, there's a lovely picture of me sleeping on the senior trip bus ride from upstate New York to Disney World. I fell asleep, and the kids thought it'd be hilarious. They put a cheese ball between my lips with my mouth hung open, a cheese ball that balanced there precariously just long enough to take pictures.
Oh, that's great.
So sweet. Very nice. So there you go. Most valuable person on the planet, Mr. Peanut and his cheese balls.
There you go.
Eric Edelstein and Pat Brady are here. Eric, thoughts on what the governor said?
Well, I felt like I was listening to the Bruce Rauner Fiction Hour. I mean, it's just unbelievable. He came into office basically against collective bargaining, saying unions, public sector unions, were the bane of the existence of the state of Illinois. That he then launched onto this Janus case, which had been a series of cases that go back 30 years that have nothing to do with anything other than weakening unions. And let's be very clear. What's going on in this country is you've had this corporate takeover of politics, and you had the Citizens United decision at the Supreme Court that allowed unlimited money, which helps Republicans, because Republicans have much more money than Democrats do. Democrats fought back by having unions, everyday working people, help fund campaigns. This has been a campaign to say, if we can weaken unions, get their money out of campaigns, we're going to have the playing field to ourselves. Now, let's go to the merits of the decision. This kind of canard that the governor and others are saying that this is about free speech. I don't care what the court says. The court,
it's the Supreme Court.
Well, but previous courts have ruled the exact opposate.
Yeah, I understand that. But the current Supreme Court.
Well, no, I respect
said it.
The. I respect
go for the
double, Chicago.
What?
And save big with the WOW double play. With WOW, you'll get 100.
There he darn Republicans. That was a Republican.
You can just tell me to shut up.
I mean, that was Steve's way of saying he doesn't agree. It's the commercials.
No, that was Ghost in the Machine. I don't know what happened.
So let me just break this down very quickly before Pat disagrees with me.
Or my head explodes.
Before this opinion, nobody who's a member of a union has to pay $1 to a union for any political activity that they do not support. What use fees go to is to pay for the costs of collectively bargaining a contract. And now you're in a situation where someone can say, I don't have to be in the union, I don't have to pay a dollar, but I still get the benefit of all that work, all that organizing, all that negotiating, and I get the benefit of that contract, but I don't have to pay anything.
Pat. Well, Eric's a good friend, or great respect for him. He's tried to teach him over the last month. No, this case reversed a 40-year-old case and it's a First Amendment case. It's a free speech case. What it is a taxpayer case, and it's not so much about organizing for political reasons as it is to allow this governor and governors in other states to negotiate on workplace rules. The problem with organized labor in this state is they have too much power. And if you go down there, he just touched on the 37-hour work week, which is one of 50 examples I can give you of union demands that harm the taxpayer. We finally have a governor in this state that's actually trying to represent the interests of the taxpayer. And as the governor said, this doesn't stop Ask Me from forming their union negotiating or any other union, which he's reached deals with, the 22 other unions. It does nothing to weaken the unions. It just says if I don't agree with the union's agenda, you can't compel me under a First Amendment free speech, freedom of association analysis. Well, let me finish.
15-second rebuttal.
You cannot compel me to give that money.
If I go into a coffee shop and I say, I have two choices, the free cup of coffee or the one I have to pay for. I'm going to take the free one, which means that coffee shop is not going to be in existence
unions
for very
third
long.
Unions are third parties. These aren't the government. These unions are there for a reason. They're there. They collect fees. They all make money. This is not a government thing. So you can't, in this country, under a First Amendment analysis, compel somebody to pay for something that violates their beliefs.
See, that's the thing that Rauner's going to have a lot of trouble communicating, because the general population is never going to lock onto that argument.
Maybe not, but you know what? Maybe sometimes you do the right thing and what's good for the state.
Let me finish. About politicians.
No, but the reality is, this is a big victory, because it finally, the Madigan union stranglehold in the state, which has been terrible for this state, is now somewhat loosened.
But the idea that he's helping workers, I mean, come on, this guy spent 4 years basically dumping on workers.
Eric and Pat will continue to hate each other off the air while we take this break and come back with your headlines next on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
All right, text question. I haven't got a chance to get to many of these. We'll do it after 8 o'clock. What's the worst way to start a conversation? I brought this up because twice in the last week I've heard this. Love you, but what's the worst way to start a conversation? And for men, it's when the female in your life, the primary female in your life, says, we need to talk. It's a bad way to start.
That could be an opportunity, though.
Yeah. here's the thing. I'm sorry?
Here's the thing.
Here's the thing. That makes the list. Absolutely. 312-981-7200. All right, Pat, yeah, yesterday J.B. Pritzker jumped on at the end of the show. What did you want to say about what you heard?
It was amazing that a guy that spent $100 million, has been campaigning for 18 months, still does not have a message or a clue on pensions. When you asked him the question relating to this Janus issue on pensions, and he filibustered for 40 seconds, had no solution to the biggest crisis in the state, the pension debt and deficit, which is financially strangling the state. And after 40 seconds, he came up with the answer, well, we're going to flatten out the actuarial tables. So some accounting gimmick to solve this issue, which is the number one issue in the state, which basically, I think, translates into we're going to make your grandchildren pay for it. J.B. Pritzker is a candidate who has no message, and a lot of people asking the question, why are you even run for governor? I mean, Governor Rauner has 44 things he ran on that he stuck with. To date, JB's only message is, we need to protect our values. And this is from the guy that ripped 5 toilets out of his house to get a tax break. So it was just amazing to me how, after all this time, the lack of message.
The last word, Eric, before I jump to Mr. Trump.
Well, you know, the best defense is a good offense, and Rahner has a horrible record. He's the worst governor in America. He's run the state into the ground. People are leaving in droves. Our unemployment rate is higher than all our neighboring states, and so he has a record he can't run on. So, you know, mouthpieces like Brady. No, I'm just kidding. So, you know, you're going to see this.
Whoa, is this getting...
You're going to see a lot of attacks on Pritzker. Look, the pension thing is a big issue. I agree with Pat, and I have talked about this many times, and I think the only way to solve it is everybody's going to have to take a bit of a haircut. The thing that I think the Democrats object to is the people who've been paying into it all these years, who have had amounts deducted from every paycheck because the politicians and others of both parties have basically used their money as their own credit card, shouldn't be the ones that pay the whole price. And let's remember, these state employees don't get Social Security. This is their only form of retirement.
But so this is where the lie was yesterday that JB told, that the governor, no one's talking, it's constitutionally protected. No one can take that away. And the governor said that all along, but we have to have a system going forward. And the Republicans in the House and the Senate and the Democrats had a plan that submitted to Mike Madigan, J.B. Pritzker's political godfather, to solve some of this problem, and it got killed. So the point is, J.B. Pritzker's not going to do anything different than what Mike Madigan wants him to do, and that's not a solution.
Yesterday in the Supreme Court, Anthony Kennedy is done. He's done at the end of July. The Republicans could do the right thing here, and they could pick an Anthony Kennedy-style replacement. Of course, monkeys could fly out of my butt as well. So who are they going to pick?
Well, remember, that's a Reagan appointee. At the time, he was considered a conservative. And if you look at the history of the court at all, you see that a lot of appointments aren't exactly what the president that appointed them turned. They don't turn out to be that particular ideology. As I said earlier in the program, I think he has every right to appoint a conservative justice. That, to me, means someone that strictly interprets the Constitution. He won the election. We control the Senate. We control the House. And doing the right thing is not the calculation. This is a presidential appointment. We had an election.
But you're going to have a... But this is... And nah, I'm not picking on Pat. This is... I mean, we had this whole argument when Obama was president, that the Republicans, with Mitch McConnell leading the charge, said, mm-hmm. you're going to have an election. This should not be an appointment that this president makes. We're now headed for another election where the Senate might flip to Democratic control.
You must have missed it. This one doesn't count, according to
Mitch. It doesn't count. And boy, yeah. are they rushing to try to get this thing done. So, yeah. you know, I love the fact that they're saying we're ready to have hearings before the president hasn't even appointed anybody yet.
All right, so...
I agree on the McConnell thing. I completely agree with
you. I would push back that there is something to be said that the president is the person who chooses the Supreme Court nominee. So the idea that this is a midterm, the president is still the president, that part is not changed. So there is a distinction, a difference, a little, might be minuscule, but there is a difference
between
this election year and a presidential
election. It never happened
election.
In American history before they did what they did to Obama. Never.
Yeah, it's a cop-out.
Which I agree with, but Harry Reid screwed up the whole process. Now you only need 51 votes. So.
Yeah, but if you keep going backwards, I could say that Thomas Jefferson was No Day at the Beach. So here's the thing. Will the Democrats go to the mats on this one in regards to trying to stop it?
Here's what I hate about the moment we're in politics. I'm not going to sit here and say we're going to the mat on this appointment. I don't know who the appointment is. Now, look, I'm skeptical that it's going to be somebody I necessarily agree with. But this notion that a Republican, putting aside Trump, the Republican president is going to appoint a potential Supreme Court justice, which is one of the most sacred, most important things a president can do. I still, maybe I'm naive, am going to reserve judgment until that person is actually appointed.
Well, that's grown up of
you. What I would say, though, is this, is I think there's a political calculus that the Republicans better be careful. Because if they do appoint... If Trump names somebody who is very far right, who it's very clear they want to overturn Roe versus Wade and roll back, you know, there's 51 opinions that Justice Kennedy ruled with the liberal majority that they could now roll back. Many of them are about rights of workers, rights of women, and other things. If they do that, they are going to gin up an already enraged left that is organized and ready to come out and vote in droves in November. I'm not warning them. I'm saying it's an interesting political calculus.
I agree completely.
Because if they go too far to the right, they are going to create even more energy for November.
No question. I have the perfect pick. Merrick Garland.
Mazur?
Merrick Garland.
That'd be great.
It would be Christmas for me so early if Mitch McConnell had to stand up and tout Merrick Garland.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Oh, President Trump tweeting his little fingers off this morning, including just watched Greg Norman on Fox and Friends and said the president's doing a great job. Well, that's fantastic, because whenever I want to evaluate my president, I go to Australian golfers. Those are the people who generally determine how I feel about what's happening here. Thank you, Mr. President, for once again bringing sanity to an insane world. Pat Brady's here. Eric Edelstein's here. That's Justin Kaufman. Introduce the band. Andy's over here on bass. Steve's, of course, in the newsroom. And Joanne Jeanette filling in for Mary Vandeveld. Quick mention of the Vandeveld family. Wonderful family. And last night was the wake for Mary's mom. And line out the door. Very popular family for all the things they did in their community. And she lived a long, great life, but it's still hard to say goodbye.
Yeah.
So we're just thinking about them this morning. And Mary will be back soon. All right, gentlemen, we left off with both of you threatening to kill each other, but in the best possible way.
With love.
With love, that's exactly right. Turnout is where I left this discussion off the air. There's all the passion and all the heat from the millennials to the old geezers. We know Trump's people are going to show up. You know they're going to show up. Are the Democrats going to realize that they didn't vote in 2016, and are they going to vote now?
If you look at the special elections that have occurred, the off-year elections that have occurred, and the primaries, where you can measure Democratic turnout versus Republican turnout that have happened to date, it is a clear warning sign to Republicans. The energy is all on the left. The turnout numbers that we've seen in Virginia and Georgia and Iowa and Wisconsin, I mean, the seats that Democrats, if they're not winning, are coming very close to. There's just the Trump, you know, interesting, the story about how Trump now has 85-90% support of Republicans. What that article also said was people self-identifying Republicans is at the smallest number it's been since Trump became president. So what you have in that situation is lots of people now saying, I don't want to identify as a Republican. I'm an independent. I can't tolerate this stuff. So yes, he's got this core base, but all the energy's on the left. And, you know, again, I'm not doing a victory lap by any stretch. We have to get out. We have to organize. We have to mobilize. But if you look at the elections that have happened to date, it's an encouraging sign for Democrats.
Pat, what do you say about turnout for Republicans?
The numbers have tightened up. I do agree in those special elections that Democrats had huge turnouts. But I think, and again, these numbers in the more recent poll have tightened up. But I think the storm clouds on the horizon, I think, for some of the Democrats. And like you see in New York, you right. see a 10-term congressman losing and into a really phenomenal young woman, but she's a socialist, basically. So we're talking about winning elections all over the country, maybe not in the Bronx or Queens. They're nominating some candidates that are very far out of the mainstream, which we did in previous years, and it makes for it, we should have a bigger majority in the Senate than we do right now because we made that mistake.
Eric, it's not, I'm listening to the national press about the surprise in New York. It's not as much of a surprise to Illinois voters. We've seen this happen in the primary. We saw Burke lose and other progressive candidates step up and have victories. It's one thing to paint it as a far left, but it does seem like a progressive movement that's taking over the Democratic Party.
Well, there's a little bit of that, but let's also remember, I mean, Joe Crowley's a guy who moved his family to Virginia, who didn't show up at debates in this thing. I mean, it's the classic recipe of how you beat a long-term incumbent Democrat. They seem to get, you know, a little complacent. They take it for granted. They go Washington.
Hillary Clinton.
It's an old story. I mean, it's how Phil Crane lost to Melissa Bean here. I mean, it's an old...
Hillary Clinton. Old...
You have Tourette's? What's
going on? A little bit. A little bit. You're describing how she lost.
So, I'm not discounting the way that campaign was run. They had
Hillary
great
Clinton.
Progressive energy, but it also was only 25,000 votes and whatnot. And I actually think it's a good sign for Democrats that happened. You know, you guys lament, we've lamented on the show, oh, the old guard of Democrats, where's the new generation, where are the young people? And I think you're starting to see some of that energy.
Pat, last word.
I agree with Eric, but if you look at what she ran,
are
on,
you just trying to make the walk out in the hallway less awkward?
No, listen,
that's how they ended. Yeah. We're friends.
We're going on a balloon ride.
You're welcome. You can come by tomorrow.
Let me ask a question to give you the last
sure.
word. This move back to the union stuff that happened yesterday.
What does it mean for November, for the gubernatorial race? Does it energize the left? Does it energize even the hard right that we see with McCann, who's running, who's come out against Governor Rauner? What does it do for what happens here in the state of Illinois in November?
I think Pearson gave the right analysis that it could potentially backfire on Republicans, and it could energize the Democrats and union people to come out. But if the governor can convey the message, this is actually good for the taxpayers and the state will be better run without the outsized influence of public sector labor unions and Mike Madigan in that relationship, then I think it energizes Republicans.
I'll leave you with this. One of the great politicians of all time, Sammy Sosa, is featured in the new SI, and Andy Mazur and I were talking about this off the air. Sosa's quite angry and quite bitter. And amongst the quotes I would alert you to, because the Cubs have said, this will take one sentence.
Yeah.
And I'm not one that's going to defend Cubs administration here,
correct,
as you know. But this would take one sentence from Sammy saying, I screwed up and
yep,
I'm sorry.
And just admit to it.
Yeah, and admit to it. Mm-hmm. And they could move towards, you know, tributes to him,
correct,
and the balance of his career. What did Sammy say about Ernie Banks?
Well, he said that he passed Ernie Banks for the most home runs in Cubs history. He has a statue and I don't have nothing. So what the blank?
Yeah. And he didn't actually say blank. He said the word.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. So Sammy Sosa, what's the shot that he'll get the Supreme Court nod? See how I tied that all together? See how I wrapped it up, put a little bow on it? Not my first day.
How does he look right now, Sammy?
We don't know.
He looks strange.
Not
right?
Good, yeah.
Yeah.
He's rocking the salmon something color all over. Like his skin, but also his clothing. Like, he's got everything going on.
It's kind of the Trump look.
Yeah,
He's like a mood rock. He keeps changing colors. Eric Adelstein. Company is?
AL Media.
And Pat?
Next Generation Strategies.
And the Lincoln Forum website?
LincolnForum.org. We've got a big announcement coming up here. We've got a big event in July, and so we have kind of a good schedule the next couple months.
Excellent. Thank you both. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
8 o'clock. Dean coming up. 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah,
live from Channel 9. Good morning, Dean.
Good morning.
Text question of the day, Dean, is worst way to start a conversation. Love you, but we need to talk.
Right.
Here's the thing. Are you busy? And you look tired. That's just a handful of really bad ways to start a conversation.
I'll throw in, hey, I hate to say this, but.
Samber?
My husband says to me, sometimes you don't realize the tone of your voice.
Oh. Because it's about to get tonier.
Right. That's usually going to
a good one for me.
Unleash
what's,
me.
What's the deal?
What's the deal? Yeah.
What's your deal? What's your deal?
What's your deal?
What's your deal?
You might as well just have nitro.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you just started a fire. Yeah.
I also say, can I make one request? Which is usually like something to do with the bath mat in the bathroom or something like that.
Sandberg said something to me about that regarding the bath mat.
Right, you don't even live at their house.
Well, we do have showers now at our new.
This is true. Hey, Dean, I brought a fitted sheet to work today.
Oh, nice. And are you going to demonstrate?
Yeah, I am going to demonstrate, and we're filming other people. So far, Justin and our boss Todd have done it.
I killed
and it.
It
looks just, they ball it up, basically. So
I did a whole tutorial. It's on video. It'll be up. I nailed it. It was. There's never been a better folded fitted sheet in the history.
When it's done right, it's a thing of beauty. It's like origami.
Exactly.
Really? You two might want to get out more often. Here's another one just came in from Joe. No offense, but
yeah.
Bad way to start a conversation. That's text question 312-981-7200 is the number. I think I found that super listing. Dean is Real Estate Guy to the Stars, and it is a home in Greater Los Angeles, Dean, that is listing this morning at $155 million.
Oh, wow.
So, but you don't have it currently. You don't have that listing.
I do not have that listing, but I do have another listing that I'll share with you.
And in addition to that.
Which might be my last one, by the way.
What?
It's very possible I'm hearing murmurings that I could get chosen to be put on the Supreme Court. And if... if that happens, I'm telling you right now, I'm kicking you all guys to the curb. I'm kicking my real estate
thing to the
curb, everything.
Right.
And I can't wait to put the robe on.
It is a pretty sweet gig, right? It's October to June.
Right.
And there aren't full days, and you got clerks to do the heavy lifting.
Job for life, as long as you want.
Yeah, it's not bad. There's another one. Kind I don't want to interrupt
you. Kind of like
you.
In radio. It's like in radio. Job for life.
You could address the issues with dues and public unions and tell us about the new Jurassic World movie.
I would still review movies.
You'd still review movies.
I still review movies from the bench.
Would you go to the movies in the robe?
Of course. I'm wearing the robe all the time. I'm telling you right now, I'm not taking it off. In fact, I may even wear my bathrobe once in a while.
That would be a good look. And by the way, a style switch up, which I think that court needs.
Yeah, we'll update it.
Come on, please, already. All right, so we'll come back with Joe Jackson, Scarlett Johansson, Tom Cruise, Carrie Fisher, Johnny Depp, Celebrity Real Estate, and more on Moron Entertainment, sponsored by Brand New Smile Dental Implant Center. By the way, a helpful texter pointed out that when I say Moron Entertainment, it sort of sounds like moron.
What?
No.
They're just reading into it.
Yeah, come on.
There's so many haters on social media. It's not
again, more
meant.
Of Moron Entertainment in just a moment. We'll be calling his name. Sandberg, where are these videos going to be of people trying to fold a fitted sheet?
They're going to be at wgmradio.com/Steve Cochran.
Has Andy tried it yet?
Andy has not tried it yet.
I have not tried it yet.
That or the Emmys.
And I think it'll probably be on our social too, Steve Cochran Show Facebook page
and Cochran Show on
Twitter.
Could win a YouTube.
WGN Radio Instagram maybe.
A YouTube.
Back to Dean. This is more on entertainment.
That, Wolf Blitzer is going to be folding a fitted sheet later today too.
Oh, I bet Wolf is good at it. I bet Wolf can fold a fitted sheet by nobody's business.
Yeah, Scott.
Hey, Dean, how long will you be at TV today?
I will be here.
10:01.
1 o'clock, maybe.
Because I have to go there to pick up the Centennial Blue Chevy Silverado.
Oh,
so
lovely.
I could bring my sheet with me over there so I could get Dean folding it.
Folding, yeah.
There you go.
Especially since he was so cocky and threw down that his was going to be prettiest.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, now you're on the clock.
I want to brag. I'm a good folder.
Yeah.
All right, Johnny Depp news.
His 16-year-old son, Jack, of whom he has spoken many times, apparently is quite ill. Johnny Depp's former girlfriend, Vanessa Paradis, was supposed to be at the premiere of her new movie yesterday. She wasn't. The director of that movie said that the son is very seriously ill. That's all that he said. So we really don't know much more about that, except there's apparently something very serious going on in that family.
That's scary.
Which is, sure, of course, very scary for any parent, but also may explain, you know, some of, you know, people have been concerned about Johnny Depp's health because his physical appearance has changed so much. He's lost quite a bit of weight. He looks frail. He looks kind of sick.
He looks awful. Is it a movie role or is there something wrong with
him? No, I don't think so. Well, nobody really knows, but if his son is seriously ill, that would, you know, explain a lot of stress and worry, I would think.
More on that when we know. Carrie Fisher?
A new book that's just come out about her and Debbie Reynolds. The book is called Princess Leia and Unsinkable Tammy in Hell, which is an interesting book, but has several revelations in it, two of which is that she had affairs with both David Bowie and Freddie Mercury, presumably not at the same time.
Wait. Freddie Mercury?
Freddie Mercury of Queen.
I didn't know Freddie had affairs with girls.
Well, he was reportedly bisexual.
Was he?
I never actually spoke to him about it myself.
Did not know that.
But apparently that was the case. The book also says that it was David Bowie that introduced Carrie Fisher to drugs.
Mm. Oh, that's nice. A sweet story.
I think it was a documentary a couple years back with the relationship between Carrie Fisher and her mom.
Oh, that documentary. I forget what it was called.
Yeah, that was great.
It was shortly before they both died.
Yeah.
Like a few months before they both died.
I think it was a week, right?
Yeah.
Wasn't it just a week?
It was
and
pretty
half?
Close. Yeah, the timing was
riveting.
Uncanny.
Yeah.
It was actually quite good. It really revealed quite a bit about both of them, but mostly their relationship. They live right next door to each other and, loved each other and wanted to kill each other at the same time.
Joe Jackson, family remembering him fondly?
Yeah, mostly. Mm. Yeah, today mostly. Philly.
What did Tito say?
We do not have a Tito quote. We have a LaToya quote.
What did LaToya say?
Said he gave us strength and made us one of the most famous families in the world. Michael Jackson's son, Prince, said that his grandfather was an example of sheer willpower and dedication. He chose the path that was best for his family. Randy Jackson Jr. said that he was the king that made everything possible. Now, last week, Janet Jackson got an award, spoke of her father, passed away, by the way, 89 years old of pancreatic cancer, and said that he was an incredible father. Conversely, Michael Jackson, before his death, gave interviews talking about the mental abuse, cruelty, beatings that Joe Jackson used to put on him. And Joe Jackson excluded from Michael Jackson's will. So there was some division in how they felt about them. But Joe Jackson also talked about it, and he said that he had to do what he had to do to make his family strong.
Carrie Fisher, Debbie Reynolds, Doc, according to a helpful texter, Bright Lights.
Yeah.
And it actually came out a few days after they passed, but was talked about in a lot prior to. Scarlett Johansson.
She is vehemently denying an allegation that came out in an interview yesterday from a former Scientologist security person.
They're great. They're great, the Scientologists.
I thought you meant Scientologist security people.
Well, just the Scientologists.
This is a person who
open-minded,
was apparently on Tom Cruise's Scientology security unit, who claims that Scarlett Johansson was once on a list to audition for Tom Cruise in order to date him. After he split from Nicole Kidman.
So you have to audition to date Tom Cruise?
Well, that's what this Scientologist security dude
So did Scarlett Johansson know she was auditioning?
Scarlett Johansson said the very idea of any person auditioning for a relationship is demeaning. I refuse for anyone to spread the idea that I lack the integrity to choose my relationship. And she says this allegation is crazy.
But, I mean, she could still be on that list.
Yeah, and not know.
Yeah.
So does that mean Katie Holmes auditioned?
There was some talk about that. Yeah, there was some talk about that, and that the thing was a setup, and she had to do her 3 years, and then she was done.
There's a show on E! I think it's on the E! Network, where it's a similar premise, where a girl, she gets to be kind of famous if she'll date a guy, and there's a system behind it that
Isn't that kind of what The Bachelor and Bachelorette?
Yeah,
aren't you basically auditioning for the other people?
You are,
on that show. On the Katie Holmes front, though, supposedly she just broke up with Jamie Foxx. They were supposedly an item for quite a while, and the scuttlebutt is, if you'll excuse my language, the scuttlebutt is
was one of Ice Cube's coming in. That was my rap name.
That he was just here. We played basketball.
Yeah.
And he, apparently they are no longer together.
Oh boy. Dean, let me tell you before you tell me about your no longer considering the real estate game, which I think you're terrific at. Located in the confines of the exclusive Bel Air Enclave, the pinnacle of splendor and luxury, 38,000 square feet, 1,000 square feet of entertainment decks, 2 master suites, 10 oversized guest suites, 21 bathrooms, 3 gourmet kitchens, 5 bars, a massage studio, a wellness spa, state-of-the-art fitness center, 85-foot glass tile infinity swimming pool, a 40-seat theater, 4-lane bowling alley. We got it bowling. In an auto gallery with cars worth $30 million itself, plus a 7-person full-time staff.
The cars come with the house?
Yeah, they do. And they manage. The 7-person staff helps manage the house.
Wow, you butlers and maids and
everything. Is washer-dryer in the unit?
No, you got to get it. But call Apt.
Okay,
yeah, for those. $188 million.
Wow.
That's a deal.
$188 million.
I think that's because it's in Bel Air, because we just watched Million Dollar Listing this weekend, Pat and I, and we saw 50 Cent was selling his...
You mean 50.
50 Cent was selling his mansion in, like, Farmington, Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
And it was 50,000 square feet. It had 7 kitchens, 25 bathrooms. It had
You gotta have that.
A 3,500 square foot nightclub.
Yeah, of course.
Parking space came with it?
Parking did come with it.
I'm just checking.
Yeah. And it was
Good schools.
It was Mike Tyson's former mansion. It was only going for $5 million.
That's because there's so many bite marks in the woodwork.
Yeah, it's true. You got to replace a lot of stuff.
Fitty did add mirrors above his bed in the master.
Yeah, well, again, you got
to
have that.
He said you have to see all angles.
You remember the Gary Shandling joke about that? Said I have mirrors above my bed, and they say objects are larger than they appear.
Well, that's a good deal, but so is the brand new mansion that Kelly Clarkson just bought in Encino, California.
What do you got?
Beautiful new mansion. Well, she just bought this. This is off the market now. $8.5 million mansion, but her 20,000 square foot lakefront mansion in Hendersonville, Tennessee, Steve, I can get you for a mere $8.7 million.
I just checked my wallet. I got $140 in cash. What do you got?
This has been on the market for 3 years.
I could Venmo
165.
Yeah, this has been on the market for a little while.
197.
I have a $20 bill.
That's 217.
Seven bedrooms, eight full and three half baths.
I got $217 in it, straight cash, homie. I see you make the offer.
I will. Well, this could be, as I say, my last real estate deal before I become the next Supreme Court justice. if she accepts, I'll give you a call.
Yeah,
today.
Get back to me. I got a busy day.
Okay.
Dean, you'll review Sicario and other things tomorrow.
Yes, I'm going to be judging it, if you will.
Dean, are you going to meet us out in Lyle, at Lyle's Eyes to the Skies?
When is that?
That's
it's tomorrow.
Yeah, no, I have to be here at work with it, so.
Screw that. Thanks, buddy. That's Dean, back with the headlines in a moment. Nice Cube coming up in studio on 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show.
Starting in power.
This is what I was telling you about. This is great.
He is a rapper, actor, writer, producer, philanthropist, activist, and the next justice of the Supreme Court. Ice Cube is here to talk about the Big Three, which makes its way to Chicago and the United Center. How you doing, man?
What's up?
Good to see you. Let me turn your microphone on. That might be helpful.
How you doing?
There you going?
I'm good, man. How you feeling?
I'm good, but I like that hat too much. I'm going to have to get me one of those.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I know a few people. I can slide you something.
So you got a lot going on in your life, and you go, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to start up a basketball league.
Yeah, I wish
and here you are, you too,
I
already.
Wish it was simple as that. You know what I mean?
Did you know what you're getting into? Did you know how hard it'd be?
Of course not.
No, no way to know.
You know, no way to know. But me and my partner, Jeff Quantinance, you know, before we launched this league last January, we looked at each other and was like, are you ready to burn the boats? Because it's no going back once we do this press conference.
Right.
So, you know, we burned the boats. we tried to put them back together and swim on, float on. But here we are. It's great. You know, it's been... You know, the first year was super challenging trying to introduce, promote, play, and market a league all at the same time.
Sure.
So this year, you know, it's not a cakewalk, but people know what, you know, Big Three is. People know, okay, professional 3-on-3 basketball is here. We made it to our second season, which is an accomplishment in its own because XFL didn't.
Yeah.
And the only sport I think...
Well, you're smart enough not to have Trump be one of your owners, so that
yeah,
was a good move.
True. But, you know, with this league, I think the only league that's really started up like this and still here is UFC. So, you know, since the UFC, we're the only one to really get to year two.
Yeah, and you know what? I mean, the NBA does a nice job of bringing show business in, but you got show business, you're touring this thing around the country, now you're in Chicago.
Yes.
You got great NBA stars playing 3-on-3 hoops. They got to move. A lot of cases, they got to move a little faster than they did when they were playing the NBA.
Oh, yeah.
And it's great basketball.
It's great basketball, and it's something that we're all familiar with. We all played 3-on-3 basketball growing up, and actually more 3-on-3 than 5-on-5, most of us.
Yeah, because you didn't have 10 guys standing around.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Or the big dudes was on the other half of the court saying, man, what y'all doing? We got this half. Y'all got that half. Three-on-three was the standard. And, you know, when you can get a good three-on-three game, you didn't really care about a five-on-five, you know? So why hasn't it been elevated to the pro level? You know, this is something the NBA should have did 30 years ago.
You got, Justin, you're not old enough to remember this, and I see you can pretend you're not. But the NBA back in the 70s would do a thing where they'd take two stars and you'd play one-on-one.
That's dope.
I did not
know
that.
That's incredible.
Yeah. It was cool.
Yeah. That's very cool. You know, it's something new, fresh.
Something you don't see every day.
Exactly. And something you wish you could see.
Right.
You know, don't you wish you could see, you know, two superstars going at it, you know what I mean? Like, you know, Steph Curry and what's that kid out of Trailblazers?
Lillard.
Lillard.
Yeah.
You know, he's going at it one-on-one would be great.
For you as an owner of the league, and you talked about the challenges that you learned or that have overcome year to year, what do you think the biggest improvement has been in the Big Three? On the business side, off the court, what do you think you adjusted positively as the owner of this league?
Well, I think the players are in better shape. They know what to expect. So that just makes the games better.
Yeah, nobody's showing up as a fat guy, are they? You'd be killing them.
Nah. Nobody's showing up, you know. You know, once they see that 14-second shot clock, it gets them in shape real quick.
Right. 'Cause
they gotta
move.
Yeah, they gotta figure it out. And it's nowhere to hide in the Big Three. You gotta D up. You gotta show all your basketball skills. See, I thought Rashard Lewis was just a catch and shoot guy. But in the Big Three, he plays on the block, and he's, you know, unstoppable. So
you got guys showing different parts of their game that they wouldn't have done in the NBA.
And it's amazing. And one thing that's better about the league is we're live this year. Mm-hmm. Last year, we were tape delayed. So we'd play on Sunday, and then they show the game on Monday nights. And it took a lot of, you know, a little bit of luster off of it because everybody knew the score. But this year, being live, I think, you know, people can get into it. You know, we on the line in Vegas, so they betting on us.
How about that?
Yeah,
so that's how you know you made it in sports.
That's how you know, huh?
Right.
Man, that's been a big deal for us because, you know, just being accepted, you know, is part of the deal. Just trying to, you know, have people accept you as a part of sports that they can look forward to in the summer has been a challenge. So any milestone we get, you know, any inch,
celebrate.
We take it. Yeah.
Ice Cube in studio, the Big Three coming to the United Center on Friday.
Tomorrow night, right?
Tomorrow night. So I'm interested as well. I mean, this is a league that has a lot of luster, like you said, and it's got a lot of marketing, and you're this is the second week of the league.
Yes.
How much do you take from your experience as a musician, as a celebrity, and how you market your music and how you create identity and how you create a reputation? And how much do you use that with the league? How much did you learn from your job at your previous job to bring to the league?
Probably 90%. You know, the other 10 is what I'm learning about sports and basketball and how to take care of athletes and what they want and what they expect. But most of it is, you know, we know how to put on a show. You know, we know how to put on a...
Yeah, make it an entertaining.
Yeah, a live show. We know how to put on a tape show or whatever. So we use those skills, and we know how to fill up arenas from our, you know, concert touring.
16,000 people last week in Houston.
Yeah, you know, so we take those skills, and, you know, it's up to us to provide the stage for these guys to play on. So, you know, we take pride in what we know and what we can do and, you know, how much more flexible we are than the NBA and some other leagues. And so we take all that experience and everybody kind of all hands on deck, and we pull off great basketball events.
Andy.
Yeah, the names are amazing. And I'm just kind of curious, too. I mean, realizing that there is entertainment involved and you've got these great names, was it a tough sell, or how tough a sell was it on these guys, knowing, you know, that some of them were a little bit out of their NBA careers, obviously, and some were a little bit further away from their NBA careers?
To some, it was, you know, it was you had to recruit. You know, I felt like you know, college coach or somebody, you know, let me sit down with your parents.
Come play with me. Come play for me.
You know, like, hey, yeah, yeah, Robinson, can I sit down with your mom and dad and show you what kind of great league you got? So,
and you could get this car.
Exactly. So, yeah, you know, once we had the idea, we worked a year on these rules. So me and my guy Jeff going back and forth arguing why we should implement this rule, why we should adjust that. You know, we don't want basketball to look foreign, but we felt like there's things we can do to make the game move faster and flow better.
Well, that's good, a point, because you mentioned a shot clock. What else is different about the big three, rules-wise?
Well, rules-wise is take our free throws.
Mm-hmm.
You're getting fouled, taking a two-point shot.
Yep.
Go to the free throw line. One shot for 2 points.
I like that.
You're getting fouled taking a 3-point shot. You go to the top of the arc for one shot, 1 3-pointer, and you make it, you get it. You're not, we play. If you're taking a 4-point shot, and we got a 4-point shot in our league.
What, half court?
4-point circles. No, they're 30 feet away from the baskets. Three 4-point circles.
Okay.
If you're getting fouled doing a 4-pointer, you step on the circle and take that one shot. And if you make it, you get 4. If not, we play.
It's cool for the crowd.
Very cool. You know, who wants to see 3 free throws being shot?
Exactly.
And definitely don't want to see 4.
Guys falling into the lane.
Yeah. You know, so that speeds the game up and is great. We don't have a time clock. You know, first to 25 is halftime. First to 50 wins the game.
See, that's street and you gotta ball. Win that's by the way 2. It ought to be.
Yeah. You know, because, you know, with a time clock, you know, a blowout can just get boring.
Right.
But without that, the team that's losing always feel like, yo, we can catch up with points.
It's only 18-2. I got a shot.
Yeah, 18-2. We can catch up with points. So it keeps the game entertaining throughout the whole game without a guy looking at the clock saying, man.
That's cool.
3 minutes left. We down by, you know, 12, 13.
Yeah, phone it in.
Yeah, phone in the last 3 minutes. Who wants that?
It's not just the rules on the court. It's the rules off the court. The big three making news, first time in history, I believe. It's the pro sport has legalized or let the players use cannabis in this pill form that's out, the CBD.
Yes.
Just came out today that this is something that you're going to allow the players to take. So it's not just the rules on the court. It's the rules off the court.
Yes. You know, we want to do things to help the players perform. You know, players are dealing with a lot of pain. And, you know, for some reason we think opioids are cool and CBD is not, which CBD is, it's not what gets you high. THC gets you high.
Right.
CBD is, you know, used for medical purposes, and it does reduce pain. And, you know, we feel for our players. So, you know, why not let them use what they need to use to help them with pain? And it's not going to, you know, enhance their game. You know, it's not performance.
It's going to allow them to play. Allow them to do what they can do.
Yeah, that's all.
Nate Robinson, Baron Davis, Meta World Peace, Big Baby Davis, Drew Gooden, Amari Stoudemire, Carlos Boozer, and Chris Birdman Anderson, just some of the new
you
faces.
Forgot Brian
this year.
Scalabrini.
Scalabrini.
Quentin Richardson.
Scalabrini.
Is that right? DePaul's Quentin Richardson.
Corey Maggette, yeah.
Corey Maggette, right?
We got some Chicago boys.
And I love that Clyde Drexler's your commish.
Yes. He's the
that's
best.
Awesome. That's awesome.
Right?
I mean, it's such an upgrade from our last guy. You know, our last guy, we were doing a lot to prop him up. He really wasn't commissioner material, but Clyde is the best.
Yeah, well, it's another one of those things you learn. All right, we got a ton of texts coming in. I know you're a little tight on time, but we want to tell people big3.com tomorrow night at the United Center. You can see it on Fox, but get out and watch it live.
You got to see it live, man, because you know, it's nothing like seeing 7-footers play 3-on-3 basketball. It's an incredible sight.
Right.
Yes.
And I'd be remiss if I don't ask. New music on the way?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. We just finished a new record. Going to drop a single this summer.
Who are you working with?
Called That New Funkadelic. And the album will be out this fall.
Who are you working with now?
Oh, man, you know, just really some young producers, you know.
Oh, really?
I'm not a big, like, go-after-the-name kind of guy. I like music.
Everybody's waiting for you and Dre.
They go after him.
Everybody's waiting for you and Dre to do something again.
Me too.
Yeah.
Dre's so rich. I don't know if he
hard to get him to come out to work.
He's in Saint-Tropez right now.
He owns Saint-Tropez.
Without a doubt.
Well, it's great to see you, man. And, well, we didn't ask about TV and movies. You must have something coming up.
I ain't worried about that, man. It's all about basketball this week. You know what I mean? Big Three, United Center. Come check us out.
Check it out
it's
live.
It's an affordable ticket. You know what I mean? Tickets start at $25. So
that's great.
You can't beat that with a stick.
That's
great. And so it's just a great 4 games for the price of 1. It's just a great, great day of basketball.
Big Friday night on the house that Mike built at the United Center, and it's going to be a good time. Why don't you get Michael to come back and play?
I want him to. You know, if he, we got Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf out there at 49. Yeah. So, Mike, get in shape. And you know what I mean?
Get off might the golf have a course, shot. Get back in the gym.
Might have a shot.
Yeah, I'll do a tryout.
Making a Big Three team, man. If you work real hard.
You know focus. What I mean?
Yeah.
You're the best.
Yeah, man. It's great. If you don't want to be in the league, Mike, just come to a game, man.
Sure.
Sit front row with me.
Yeah, as competitive as he is, he'd be ready. Big3.com. Ice Cube invented it, and now you're going to go and enjoy it tomorrow night at the United Center. 7 o'clock. They sold it out in Houston. Let's sell it out in Chicago. Come on, people. And, again, on Fox as well, and on demand as well. Just go through big3.com. You can see everything you missed so far. Great seeing you. You're always welcome here. You know that.
Hey, man, thank you, man. It's always great to talk sports with you guys.
There you go.
We'll be back again. And,
yes, sir.
We'll holler at you. And then come to the game. I want to invite y'all to the game. I know y'all busy on Fridays.
No, I'm gonna slip into the short pants. I may go out and play a little. I got hops. I'm still there. I got
that's
game.
Right.
I got a 15-foot fadeaway if somebody helps pick me up. Ice Cube, big3.com.
The Steve Cochran Show.
Starting in power forward.
Mike check, 1-2.
Carlos.
Mike check, 1-2.
Dream it, believe it, do it. Let's go. Already know I cross them over, take them to the hole. Look back, thank God, look forward, trust God. That's why when I'm in the paint, you know.
Is this Kerr? This is Steve Kerr.
Yeah, it's got to be. With Jeb Bushler
this
behind
is
him.
DJ Boozer. Carlos Boozer.
Kerr and Bushler?
Yeah. Those guys.
This is Boozer's rhymes.
Back in the day when I believe it was when Derrick Rose, and he was on the Bulls, he recorded this track, and he put it out on the internet the whole bit, and it was...
Tin it up and put a little phasing in it, and you can cover.
It was quickly commented on. Let me put it that way.
Text question of the day. What's a bad way to start a conversation? We need to talk. 847. Don't take this the wrong way. 773. I've been meaning to tell you. 312. Listen. What are you doing next Saturday? We're moving. You could also substitute. I'm coming in to the airport. 815. Worst way to start a conversation. Hey, are you busy? 847. I don't want to interrupt you. 630. I hate to ask, but 847. With all due respect, 847. Can I be honest with you? These are all good, man. These are all good.
I'm sitting in the spot where Ice Cube was sitting, and I just put his headphones on, and they smell like Ice Cube. He is,
is that a good thing?
A cologne, yeah.
Oh, okay. He's got cologne. He's so well coiffed.
Yeah.
He is. When you look at him,
you know,
you're
the only human being on the planet
I'm
who ever said
you.
That about Ice Cube.
When you look at him, you're like, he's got his beard is perfect. He's got the shades on. The hat is perfect. Like, everything is perfect. He had a stylist with him. He's a good looking guy. And of course, it does not surprise me that he's a good smelling guy.
Yeah, he smells good. It's not too much. We've had some guests that their cologne stays on the headphones, and I can't.
Well, that's why I asked if it was okay, because generally you react badly to that.
Yeah, I'm not a cologne person.
Yeah. Another texter. I usually start with, hey, a-hole. It's not good.
That's not good.
224. You wouldn't be in this situation if you listened to me. 815. Is that what you're wearing? 708. Maybe you should sit down. 630, we need to talk. 630, could you please turn off the TV for a minute?
Oh, yeah.
630, why do you keep looking at your phone? 630, can I see your phone? 630, could you meet me in my office? I've had a couple of those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And similar to that is, can you close the door behind you? Come and sit down.
224, don't be mad at me. 847, I don't want you to take this the wrong way.
Yeah.
And one more.
708's got a great one. Promise me you're not going to get mad.
Yeah. There's no way that ends well. It just doesn't. And another bad thing to say, and you mentioned this, but it goes both ways. When you say to your wife or your girlfriend, calm down.
Calm down. That's terrible.
Yeah,
and also,
down.
What's your deal? What's your deal tonight? Never works out.
And also, when a woman says nothing, it's something. Yes, it is.
I like to say, I'm fine.
Oh, I'm fine. Mm-hmm. You know what that is? That's the F word.
Mm-hmm. Basically.
That's fine is. All right, we'll take a break, come back, get the news. Hi to everybody on CLTV, simulcasting live now in the brand new studios at 303 East Wacker. What are we doing here in about 10 minutes?
I'm just so excited. The swap meet's coming up. Greg Flam is here at DuPage Picker. This is a segment we did on the download, which was very successful, where you call in with your memorabilia, your collectibles, your junk. And Greg evaluates. He tells you what it's worth. And
well, give me an example. Like somebody would call in with what?
Someone says, "I have a I saw Michael Jordan in a grocery store, and I got him to sign a cantaloupe."
Okay, how much is a cantaloupe worth?
And then he'll tell you how much the signed Michael Jordan cantaloupe is worth.
Okay, and what's his street cred again? What is
he's a picker, which is he goes to estate sales and garage sales, and he works online to...
He knows the value of stuff.
He knows the value of stuff. So cool. he comes in and he evaluates it, and he's at DuPage Picker, and he's also set up at Wolf's Flea Market out in at the Allstate Arena in Palatine. So a great segment, and I'm glad that it's coming to the morning.
Let's do this on the phone. Let's get you guys lined up on the phone now if you want to get a valuation on your incredibly valuable thing. 312-981-7200. News next. Sponsored by Wolf's Flea Market. Time now for the swap meet. By the way, we should say
this. Exciting. So exciting to see you, Greg. It's so exciting. It's a day. Daytime. I know. I'm just excited. I'm excited.
Patty and Andrea, now every night at 7.
Yep.
Justin, every morning, and Pete Zimmerman as well. And we're taking some of the stuff you did on the download that everybody loved, and we're asking these people to get up at a ridiculous hour and come in here.
Well, it's not ridiculous. I mean, if you're not up by 9, come on now. Right? It's 9:13.
And you know with the garage sale and estate sales, I'm up early for that.
Yeah. So this segment we've been doing for a couple of years now, it's called the Swap Meet, and this is where Greg comes in. Greg Flam is a picker. At DuPage Picker is his handle both on Twitter and Facebook.
What does that mean, a picker?
Basically, you pick stuff and then you sell it. You're a reseller, or you pick it for yourself, or you have buyers like TGI Fridays.
So he goes to a garage sale or an estate sale, finds something that, Steve, you're like, I'm giving up on this bike. Mm-hmm. I'll sell it for $1. Mm-hmm. And then Greg sees that they didn't recognize that that's a $6,000 bike.
Well, who are the two dudes?
Something like that, right?
Who are the two dudes that drive around in the truck and they go
American
to
American Pickers? Yep,
right. That's American Pickers.
My stepson watches that show. He's obsessed with that show.
I love that show too. Yeah.
So Greg, do you guys all get together for pickers meetings?
There are reseller meetup groups online, and obviously I'm a big eBayer, so there's eBay Open coming up in a few weeks. So
eBay Open, like the U.S. Open?
Without the golf, you know.
Right.
It's a big... like now, there's probably people waiting in line right now listening for estate sales.
I've learned so much, Steve, about estate sales and
picking?
Garage sales. I'm not, but I'm
aren't
going.
You
I'm going
Seems
out
like
to Wolf's.
Learned.
No, I'm going out to Wolf's next. Yep. I think we set a date on the 15th. Yeah. And I'm going to go out. If you go out to the Allstate Arena and on a Sunday morning, all weekend, right? But Sunday morning, you'll see all of these vendors lined up in the parking lot, and it's this huge flea market.
Right. Sunday in Rosemont, and Saturday and Sunday in Palatine.
Yeah, and this idea is all these pieces of memorabilia and collectibles.
Anything you can want. Tube socks to vintage records.
Tube socks.
Vintage lamps. I mean, anything you can want, it's there.
And that's what he does all day. He goes to estate sales and stands in line, gets a number. They give you a number, Steve, and they say
some
you're number 12.
Yeah. How'd you get into this?
Lifelong musician. 3 years ago, I needed some cash, and I was moving from where I was, so I downsized, and I was literally down to like a couple boxes. And in the meantime, I was selling on eBay, and I was just finding out that this stuff is worth crazy money. And I'm like, I got to get some more of this stuff. So then I started going to garage sales and estate sales and finding it and finding better stuff. And
so you had stuff, you got more stuff, and now you're all about stuff.
Yeah, I'm
all about stuff.
Yeah,
I've
got
a
10x30 locker. And, it's great to find something for $1 and sell for $500. It replaces going to the casinos in my mind, anyway. So.
The greatest thing you ever had, found, or sold, or valued?
Funniest thing was a 1980s pack of Bubblegum bubblegum unopened. So I got it for like free, sold it for $80. Another thing was like a board game for $1 that sold for $475.
It's endless.
No kidding.
It's endless entertainment.
Kidding. I am that guy borderline selling the potato chip that has the image of Elvis on it.
All right, now you brought some stuff, right?
Yep.
All right, show us some stuff before we go to the phones and the textures.
Okay, well, the staples are the bear stuff, of course. So I've got Super Bowl Shuffle, and this one happens to be sealed. It's about $25-$30 right now.
That's a sealed album.
A sealed Super Bowl Shuffle. And
hold that up. The kids that are watching.
I don't know which camera.
This is an album.
This is an album.
This is an album. It's made of something called vinyl.
Well, the millennials are all over vinyl, so
they know it's coming back.
Those kids know. Yeah.
You tap it right here to play it. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, exactly right. Swipe here.
Yeah.
All right. What else?
Okay. So obviously some rock star programs. The Who, Beatlemania, even. These are like $25-$30. But
so you bought them for $25-$30, or you're going to sell them?
I buy them for like $0.50, $1.
So old concert programs, if they're in good shape.
Yeah, and then old catalogs as well. I got a 1973 Sears catalog. Just one page, you know, certain pages throughout this catalog, one page will sell for $13. So you can imagine, you know, there's probably, I could sell probably 50 pages of here times $13. But you could sell it as a whole book as well. So
long before there was the internet, if you wanted to see a naked girl or a girl in her underpants, you'd go to the Sears catalog.
Right. And that's total mid-century modern, which is the hip thing right now to be owning. And the clothing in there and the games are just amazing to, you know, our era.
But who's buying a Sears catalog?
Lots of people. People will just buy the page just because it has a vintage game that they grew up on.
Get ready for your mind to be blown at this second. Because there will be things that you'll be like, that's worth nothing. You're like, well, it's $1,200. I'm like, what? And I'll be like, that is an amazing find. A World War II relic. Well, it's 25 cents. Yeah. I'm like, what is that?
Yeah, exactly. Right? Yeah.
I think the largest find we hit on the show was a 1970s Wacky Pack card, if you remember those.
I remember Wacky Packs.
Sold for $2,000 recently.
$2,000.
And I think a caller before that had like some Mayor Daly memorabilia, and it was like $12.
You know, so what determines value? The rarity?
Rarity. It's the people who are kind of in their 40s to 55 that are collecting their childhood.
Okay.
So there's a lot of that going. I saw a lot of vintage toys, records, as you see. So those people are really kind of collecting. Once you get past 60, 65, you probably have everything you want to collect by then.
Yeah, well, at that point, you're collecting hot water bottles,
right.
Yeah. Prescription meds.
I mean, when you're going to these estate sales and you see something that you know is worth, I mean, the poker face has got to come on, right?
It does. The estate sales, they tend to know what they have. So you're looking for something that they didn't see, or you're looking for the hoarder sales where you're filling a box and they're just like, most people, they're paying attention to the furniture going out of the place. I'm picking these smalls that are going into a banker's box. And a lot of times they just look at the box and they'll say, $20, get out of here. And I'll turn that box into $1,500 or so, you know. And just do that. You know, Thursdays and Fridays are usually the better days for me to go. Saturday and Sunday, things are picked over. And I'm also at Palatine selling at that.
Sandberg.
Yep.
Have you ever spent money on something and then couldn't sell it?
Like it happens.
A big loss?
Oh, it sure does. But I can't say it was a large dollar amount loss. Yes, I've spent 10, 20.
So you're 30. Pretty good at this.
I've been doing it 3 years, and I've even before that, I was a seller. As a musician, I would flip guitars and amps. On back in the day, there was a Trading Times magazine, so I've been doing it since back then, and just really kind of got the bug 3 years ago. I was managing bands and playing, and I was just kind of burnt out on that.
So. The reason we started this segment, Greg was a listener, and Greg texted me a picture of a Jane Byrne coloring book.
Right.
And
the same one we all had?
We all had.
Well, and also the Super Bowl flag, too.
And the Super Bowl flag.
That had the instructions of when to wave the flag during the Bears Super Bowl. And that was kind of cool.
And just kicked it all off.
And I have to say, like, as an eBayer, you spend a lot of screen time listing. So I had WGN all the time, and I've listened for many years anyway. But that's kind of how I would listen and be listing. And Justin mentioned, hey, we should do the show called Swap Me. And so I started texting him pictures, and one thing led to another, and here I am.
How do we help you? You got a website you want to send people to?
Just Two Page Picker on Facebook is the best way.
Okay.
I have items on there you can see to buy, and you can also contact me.
You made over $11 million last year. I just looked it up on the IRS.gov.
Yeah, that's good money.
There's great texts that are coming in, pictures and stuff. Let's take the break, and then we can come back and evaluate some stuff. What do you think?
Great. Hey, by the way, Walter Jacobson's Perspective, anytime, all the time at WGNRadio.com. Sponsored by our friends at HearingHealthCenter.com. We are back with Greg, is going to stand up to the test now and see what's got the most value. What do you want to do first, Justin?
Let's do the call. Let's bring John in from Schaumburg. John.
All right, here we go. All right, John, what do you got?
John, what do you want to brag about?
Hey, great. Thanks, guys. I'm not bragging about it, but I'm curious what it might be worth. You know, before Taste of Chicago, there was Chicago Fest.
Yep.
And about 78, 79 or so. I have an original mirror from Chicago Fest.
Awesome.
It's got like waves on the bottom and
right.
some, you know, a note floating on top.
And it's etched?
The glass, no, it's not actually.
So it's like stamped
it's
just, glass.
It's probably screen print.
Screen print,
yeah.
Right. I know the posters, yeah. The larger posters go for about $200. The mirror, what size right. would you say that mirror is?
Mirror is about maybe 18 inches by 2 feet, something like that.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think that's $200 as well, and I would definitely
nice.
Do an auction if you were to sell that, do an auction.
Did you get it at Chicago Fest, John?
Yes.
Nice and hold. There's $200.
I think we saw Chicago and the Beach Boys, and I was high school.
There you go.
So, yeah, why I still have it, I don't know. But
right. Well, because you're going to make $200,
right? Hopefully more.
Well, see, up until now I had a basement. Now I live in a condo, so now I'm like, okay, what to do with
that
thing?
Stuff?
Yeah, we're taking
right.
care of you. All right, man, hold
Thanks,
on. We'll
John.
Get you some information
Thanks.
As well.
There you go.
Next.
All right, so we've got an unused 1950s Green River metal sign. I have it's an original, never hung up, 28 by 20.
You mean Green River, like Creedence Clearwater?
Yeah, like the soda.
I love that. It's got the
red and it's got the yellow in the middle. Says Green River. It's got like a mermaid on it. It's a whole metal sign.
Let me see
if
I'm good at this. $12,000. So it seems high.
Here's what you have to be aware of. There's many reproductions now of all those old signs. Coca-Cola, Shell, all those are making repro.
Got to be from.
So the original could very well be $2,000, but they're making the same sign that they wrote texting with, and it's going for $12 to repro. So you
bucks.
Really have to pay attention
wow.
to the signs.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
All right. Michael Jordan dolls in a box. This sounds like a hostage situation. I have several Michael Jordan dolls in a box. One has a Carolina uniform. The rest are in Bulls uniforms. If they're in good shape, what are they worth?
Yeah, if they're mint in the box, they could be $70 to $150 each to start in an auction. Yeah.
Have you ever heard of dolls that are in a box that aren't in good shape? Like, do dolls deteriorate inside a box?
Yeah, and there's a market for that as well.
Right, if they put them back in, I don't know.
Yeah, they're like people. There's a certain segment of people that like the scary dolls, like with the chipped faces, the just the scary dolls. And I don't get into it.
Do business with them.
Yeah, and Greg and I have a long-standing. He understands that nothing that I've ever brought to the swap meet has had any mint condition anywhere near it.
Right.
Posters with the corners cut off. Nothing. It's always it's well worn. So
you have the Justin treatment on everything. And I would always joke for future people as well. Buy two, one to play with and one to pack away.
Right.
This one, and I know you need to look these up, but you can do a ballpark on this for us. Let me go here. It's Denise. Denise, what do you have?
Hi, good morning. Yeah, we have some exactly what we did. My son was into Star Wars, the original, and my husband would buy one. We would laugh at him, and he would put it aside, and my son would play with the other ones. So how do we go about getting rid of these things, though?
These are the Holy Grail.
The Holy Grail are the early Star Wars, after like 90s. They made so much stuff that it's hard to even get your money back on the newer Star Wars.
Cards, the first comics, all that stuff we've got.
But if you got the first Star Wars, I mean, that could be thousands, 1800
wow.
or more.
Okay. Wow.
And you can compare prices, go to eBay or whatever and check solds. Do not check availables because people can ask for $1 million for anything.
Okay, so
you want to check the box that says sold or completed auctions.
Give me something else off the texters, Justin.
All right, we'll
and
do
congrats,
one more.
Congrats, Denise.
Isn't that great?
Yeah, that's awesome.
All right, we'll do one more here. Let's see.
I always get rid of stuff because I don't keep things. And then when I hear about people selling their stuff, I'm mad at myself that I always get rid of stuff.
This segment will kill you because you're always like, I had that.
Right.
Well, I sold so much and I still kick myself. So, I mean.
All right, Greg, last one. This one comes from 224. I have an unopened box of Slammin' Sammy Sosa Frosted Flakes.
Now, this I did get an actual price. They're going for $12 to $16. And that's like unopened mint condition.
They probably paid $4 or $5 for it.
Yeah.
If he hadn't lost the gig and been shamed, would it be worth more?
I would think so, but
if he had a statue,
maybe 25, because even the Jordan Wheaties boxes aren't worth more than like $20 to $30, unless they're signed, of course. But
people think that's the key. I mean, you have a Wheaties box, you put it on here. You're like, look at this. I saved this Mary Lou Retton.
My
Wheaties
sister
box.
Has that Mary Lou Retton box because she was a gymnast. She still has it.
But they're not worth much. They don't actually.
Yeah, and Joe's got a Mark Burley one. I got to ask you about one more in this picture here.
A15, I have a pewter opium pipe with Asian writing on it. Stands about 8 inches high, and the pipe extends up.
That is out of my ballpark.
It looks like a piece of plumbing.
This is very interesting because this happens a lot, that people have really, really specific things that you don't know what it is.
You can't compare it.
Maybe this was for Lou.
Opium pipe, yeah, exactly.
It could have been a little like
the other one.
It's like a flush handle.
You see this a lot, too, and we'll get it, is people will have memorabilia from wars, and you'll have a lot of Nazi memorabilia, like stuff that came in from Germany, and there's a whole different classification because it almost falls into a different area when it comes to, you know, swastikas and things like that, where it's hate speech or hate product.
Well, the thing to remember
is... Yeah, definitely sell that stuff.
The thing to remember with something when it's one of a kind is always do an auction, because you could sell yourself way short.
There if you just set a price,
Greg
Flynn. Give him a tip. Give him a tip for the weekend. If you're going out to...
The weekend, go to Rosemont. I mean, there's
everything. Yeah, but go to Rosemont and look for what?
I mean, if you have records, there's tons of records there. If you're... I mean, anything. I can't even pinpoint one. There's just everything.
Don't you remember the tube socks? If you're looking for tube socks, you got to get out to Rosemont.
That's more Palatine, probably.
Oh, Palatine. Okay. Good to know.
Wrong burp.
Right.
There you go. There's a tip. Palatine for tube socks.
Right.
That's good. Greg,
and
good
check out Greg's Facebook page as well.
Thanks.
At DuPage Picker.
Nice to see you, man.
Awesome. It's fun.
Thanks. I had $140 in my wallet. You said it's worth $140.
That's right. $130.
Coming up, David Hochberg. Headlines next, 720 WGN.
Get that Hochberg man. What he says we know is true. Call him now, that's what to do. You can ask him right now, 720. You can ask him right now, 720.
Well, my friend David Hochberg is here. Justin, I don't know how well you know David Hochberg, but you guys hang out?
We have hung out.
Spend a lot of time on the weekends?
I don't know if it's been a weekend hang, but we've...
Went to a hockey game together.
Went to a hockey game.
We bonded.
I love David.
Turns out neither one of us know David Hochberg as well as Andy Mazur.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right.
We used to walk the halls.
Andy Mazur and David Hochberg went to high school together. Same graduating class?
He's a year older than me.
And this
wiser.
Was the...
Can't you tell? A little wiser.
What high school?
Maine East.
The Flying Horned Frogs of Maine East.
Sure. If that's what you want to call it, they were the Demons when we went to high school. I don't know if they changed their name, but we'll go with the Flying Horned Frog because you're never wrong.
So, Andy, when David Hochberg was in school, was he shy, kept to himself?
Yeah, you know, you really would have a hard time believing that he's morphed into what he's morphed into now, because he was a shy guy, always wanted to blend in, never really wanted to...
One of the strangest things, and you could confirm or deny this, at least in some forms. He's a very charitable guy, and one of the charities he supports that I was emceeing for at one of their events, two very attractive women from the North Shore came up to me and went, "You're friends with David Hochberg. In high school, he used to be so hot."
He was a ladies' man,
which is a compliment packed in an insult.
He was a football guy.
High school, he used to be so hot.
And those two women had sight problems in high school as well. So their definition of hot is...
Were you the high school stud?
Stud what? No, by far, no way.
Okay,
a fat Jewish kid from the North Shore.
Everybody knew him, though. I mean, because you know he's David Hochberg.
We got busted for selling... the true story. We got busted. My brother came up with the idea to sell candy bars, so we went to the Warehouse Club on McCormick and bought the candy bars for 23 cents. We sold them for 50, so we keystoned them, and we were selling like boxes, cases, and then we paid people 10 cents a bar to sell it for us, and we gave them like $5 a case or whatever.
It's like an early mob operation.
Oh, it was awesome.
Love it.
The dean calls me into his office. Dean Shulgin, he hated my guts. And this is after I got suspended 5 days for putting a naked picture of my friend up for trying to get me in trouble, so I retaliated and got 5 days suspended for that. Today I'd get expelled. But
you put a naked picture of a buddy of yours?
I superimposed his face over a Playgirl photo and
okay.
Distributed
this was before Photoshop too, so he had to really work.
It was very talented on my part, and I got 5 days suspension on that. My mother almost killed me for that one, and then so my brother came up with the idea to sell candy. So Dean Chilligan calls me into, and by this time I had like 3 months to go. I had the sales up. I just wanted to get out. He wanted me out.
You had numbers to make. You had people to employ.
We were making $300 a day. It was back in 1988. It was ridiculous.
That's pretty nuts.
We were just banking, selling Rolos and Starbursts. You know.
the student council was selling peanut M&Ms and regular M&Ms, mm-hmm. and we diversified. We got the Rolos, got Starbucks.
I'd be there. I'd be
How many times?
I'd be
have to use the word diversify before people pay attention.
I'd be first in line if you were selling Rolos.
So he calls me in. He called my brother and scared him to death. He's a sophomore, and my brother's shaking. He's like, "We're going to get thrown out. Our parents are going to kill us." I'm like, "I got this covered. Don't worry about it." So they call me. I'm like, hey, Dean, long time no see. How you doing, buddy? He goes, "You're selling candy. What's this all about?" I'm like, "Send David Hochberg to a college fund. It's a not-for-profit organization. All the money that we raise is going to help pay for my college." He didn't like that at all. So then he goes, "How would you like it if I set up a hot dog stand in the rotunda and sold hot dogs?" I go, "To be honest with you, Dean, if I was hungry and I had the and there was a reasonably priced and you were selling hot dogs,
I'd like it.
I'd probably buy a couple of hot dogs. Great idea." You know, he's like, "Do you have a permit?" He just whatever. So they confiscated our candy and we did all right.
Did you keep your profits?
Well, hell yeah. I was in a shoebox under my bed. They weren't coming into my house.
Right? I think I bought some of that candy.
Of course you did.
Were you guys friends or because you were a year apart?
We knew each other.
Yeah. We went to the same synagogue. We hung out together. Absolutely. We went to the High Hole Holidays.
Just two Jews roaming the hallways.
Absolutely right.
Crazy.
He ran it, you know? He ran the school.
Yeah. And the stories you want to tell about him are when he's not here?
Yeah, well, of course. I told you most of them already off the air. Yeah.
Okay. David Hochberg's here, and let's start with this and talking about business. What am I holding?
Yeah, you're holding up a map of 13 areas predominantly all in the south and southwest side of Chicago that Pearl is now offering. It's called the Micro Market Recovery Program. It's a neighborhood stabilization initiative targeting 13 geographical areas in the city, providing up to $15,000 in down payment assistance and closing cost credits. So you could use that. You have to meet certain income qualifications, but the neighborhoods
we're talking about West Humboldt, Lawndale, Back of the Yard, Chicago Lawn, Auburn, Gresham, and Roseland.
Right.
So these are tough neighborhoods, and
they need help.
They're incentivizing people to build them up.
Right. Exactly. Austin, my good friend LaShawn Ford is the state rep out there. Chatham, Chicago Lawn, West Garfield Park, Englewood. There's 13 areas that are specified in this program that Pearl signed up for. Just this morning, as I was walking here, we received it. So I'm super pumped. And I know that you have a very diverse listening audience. So if it's not so much for your listening audience, might be for a friend, family, coworker, or neighbor that they know that are looking to buy within that area, because the homes in those areas are very, very reasonably priced as opposed to being within a mile radius of where we're sitting right downtown in the heart of the city. Yeah. Right. So,
David, at a certain point, the down payment, the idea of the down payment in general, there was a time where that was laxed, where you could get insurance, you could do other things, you could take out a second loan, all that kind of stuff. Yeah. Is that similar to these days, or you still have to have that down payment if you want to buy a house?
That's a great question. There are a lot of programs out there that we offer that have zero down. VA loans, which Steve knows, I'm a huge supporter of the veterans. So the veterans have a zero down program, no PMI. There's a U.S. rural.
PMI, Andy, that's PIMI.
PIMI,
stands for PIMI.
He was selling those in high school,
too. Right? And we learned that in health class. So you take a PIMI and you're good to go for at least 3 hours,
right?
So if especially after junior year in high school, there's USDA rural loans. So for the listeners out in the rural areas outside the major metropolitan areas, you could buy a home for no money down, and you could get the closing costs rolled in as well. So those are great programs. There are programs like this. This is actually a second lien against your property, which is forgivable in 5 years. So the longer you live there, the amount that you have to pay back goes down, where after the 60th month, it goes away totally. So if something comes up after 3 years and you have a job change and you have to move, or you make more money and you want to move out of the neighborhood, or whatever the 4,000 circumstances there are that you would sell the home, if you're not there at least 60 months, they're going to make you pay back whatever the portion is that you haven't used up before the 60 months.
Can you do me a favor?
Whatever you need.
Will you say rural again?
Rural.
Okay, I just thought I'd have some fun with that. Yeah. All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back, and you're going to tell us what's hot in the housing today.
Yeah, sure.
And with interest rates going up, what do we need to do?
Yes, sir.
And I've thought about possibly a squatters thing. I don't know if the squatting thing is...
squatting is good.
You know, people on vacation, you go into their house, you go in their house.
Until the cops come and arrest you, which could be, depends, if you're
always
quick.
Knocking down my ideas.
With your knee, you know, you'd have to get a really strong scanner because you'd need a little more lead time than you would normally do.
Somebody told me I should get one of those scooters, like kick scooters, you put your knee on one.
And then you should fold a sheet. That was very fun because that folded sheet looks like my fitted sheet that I just ball up and stuff in the closet.
Yeah, here's the deal. Those videos are going to be up any minute now.
Huge.
At CochraneShow.com.
I should make a video of just how I fold it, where I just put in a ball and we should compare the two, how they came out.
And then we can do a video where the wives go, just let me do it.
Exactly. Exactly.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
David Hochberg's here. That's Justin Coffin, and let's grill Mr. Hochberg. All right, so interest rates up, down, where today?
They've actually kind of slid down this week a little bit, quarter to an eighth of a point. It bounces all over the place. It's, you know,
what are they averaging now?
Mid fours. A lot of variables go into quoting an interest rate, so people in my industry that are on the radio like to have to be careful so we don't get penalized. So we just do generalities and say mid fours to high fours.
I'll make a point that I've learned from you and from my son working for you. When you're asked to provide paperwork and documents to your potential lender,
do it,
and there's a rate that you discuss at that time, lock. You're going to want to get those documents in and not act surprised if you don't when they come back in the rates.
Hashtag lock it in.
Lock it in. Yeah. You know, we talk to people. We pre-approve people. Not pre-approve. We actually approved people to buy a home in January when the rates were in the high threes, low fours, right? So we quoted a guy, I don't know, might have been like 3.875 at the time. You pick a number. And then he called us today, and at the time we did, it was like in the mid to high fours. And he's like, oh, you're bait and switching me. I'm like Spartacus, you know, where you been? Living in a cave for the past 6 months? I mean, the economy's getting quick, better. Yeah. You know, the Fed has raised interest rates two times. I'm like, it's my fault, right? As if I control gas prices, too. You want to get upset with me? The gas prices just went up 10 cents because it's a holiday weekend? Fire on me. What the hell? I got no control over that. Listen, they go up the week
still
before.
Stuck on Spartacus.
Wait, they go up the week before every holiday. You might want to think about loading up before they go up. And don't get mad at the guy behind the bulletproof vest because they bulletproof glass because they went up because you didn't fill up your tank the night before when it was 3.19. Now it's 3.26.
All right. So over the course of a 30-year loan,
what are we talking about? We're talking
over the course of a 30-year loan.
Yeah.
A half point difference in interest rate.
Oh, it's.
I mean, how much money are we talking?
It's
about?
Tens of thousands of dollars. I mean, 1 point on a $250,000 mortgage. The differential in one credit score point could cost you $50,000 in interest rates because you're going to get a quarter of a point higher in an interest rate.
I'm glad you brought up credit reports. What's the credit report killer?
Credit report killer is not paying your bills on time.
But isn't your mortgage worse?
Well, it's all a combination. I mean, you know, you miss your mortgage, it's worse than missing a car payment. But if it's missing anything, and I'll tell you what we're seeing a lot of, again, is two things. Divorce and student loans, okay? 30% of all marriages end in divorce. It's just a fact, right?
It's 30? That's good. Yeah, we're going in the right direction.
It's going down. So congratulations to all you people getting married. This weekend, you've got a two in three chance of surviving. And the other third, give me a call and we'll help you refinance when it falls apart. But when you get divorced, you have to be careful because you have to make sure that all the cards and all the joint accounts, the cards, the credit cards, the student loans, all that stuff, the mortgage, are paid on time. And they're like, well, it's his responsibility. He's a jerk and he screwed me over by not paying it. Yeah, right. Okay. You know, that's wonderful. But you still have a late mortgage payment, right? You still have a late payment. And they're like, well, how am I going to check? You're on the account. You could call up Visa, MasterCard, American Express and just make sure the bill's being paid. And if it's not being paid, you got to pay it. Figure out a way to pay it. Because guess what? You have something late that is very, very difficult to recover from.
And they don't care.
They don't care.
And the credit part of this that I've also come to learn from you is there's lots of tricks. They're all legal. There are lots of tricks you can do. For instance, I've done commercials for you where we've talked about a $2,000 gift from a family member.
Yes.
And a $2,000 gift in repayment of the same, I assume, is a way to show you're a good credit risk?
There's a bank out there that has two different products. One's called a Believer Loan and one's called a CD loan. Okay? If you have good credit, like if you got 650, 660 credit score and want to get it over 700, you go there. If you have the income and everything else, they'll give you a loan, a quote-unquote loan. They'll put it on paper. They'll report to all three credit agencies. They'll give you a $1,000 loan. What I tell people is give them $1,500. It's going to cost you $100. They're going to rip $100 off the top for the fee. That's what they're going to charge. And then the first payment come due, boom, $700. Second payment come due, boom, $200. Third payment come due, boom, whatever it is, plus the interest. And then you pay it off in 3 months, and your credit score gets a little shot of testosterone in the tuchus, and then it goes up. And then what you do is that $1,000 is sitting there. It comes comes back to you into your savings account that you use to pay it down. And you do it again. And you keep doing it until you pay it off and your credit scores go up. The other one is a CD account where you have to put money up as collateral, but it's the same type of thing, and you just keep doing it over and over and over.
So if somebody comes in with a 600, 650 credit score, what's reasonable to get them into the high sixes? How long?
Three to six months.
That's better, pretty good.
Right. It's like, hey, we know the marathon's the end of October. Why the hell you want to run 26.2 miles? I have no idea. But you don't start training in September, right? You start strapping on the sneakers.
That was my problem.
In February. Well, exactly. But that's the story. Can I plug a couple of things coming up?
Yeah, because you're out of time. Go.
Okay, great. We're doing a reverse mortgage seminar with the one and only, the great Orion Samuelson.
Really?
Yes. At Del Webb and Huntley.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Which is his home base. We're going to put it up. We're going to start running promotions. He's going to start recording spots.
When's it going to be?
July 27th. Opens free. The best four-letter word in the English language starts with an F. Free. So I'll have it up on our website where people could go 3 to 5. We're going to have some snacks about 3 to 3.30, mix and mingle with Orion. And then we're going to do the seminar from 3.30 to 5, and I'll hang out there as long as you want.
WGNDavid.com for that. What's the other plug?
The other plug is I'm going to be on tonight with Patty and Andrea, answering listeners' questions at 9 o'clock for an hour.
Oh, good.
Just taking listeners' questions and helping them with any questions they have about their mortgage, credit, whatever.
Tonight at 9 o'clock.
9 p.m. Central Daylight Time.
WGNDavid.com.
That is the website.
And what's the number at Pearl Mortgage?
24 hours a day, 7 days a week. 312-751-1333. 312-751-1333. And thank you for the opportunity.
Good to see you.
Good to see you.
Bill and Wendy is Wendy and Noonan. It's next on 720 WGN.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
Head to Lyle. We'll see you tomorrow, 6 to 10 a.m. for Lyle's Eyes to the Skies, the balloon launches, the fireworks at night, the kids' stuff, the music, the food vendors. We're going to have a good time. 100% of what they make goes to charity. And again, that's tomorrow, 6 to 10, live at Lyle's Eyes to the Skies. Hi, Wen.
Hello, hello.
How you doing?
I'm doing great because Brian Noonan is with me today.
Who's this tall drink of water?
Why, are you thirsty?
Hold on, let me get your mic, buddy.
There you go. Listen, it's my first day. I don't know how any of this works.
Yeah. Good to see you.
Nice to be seen.
Good to see you, buddy. What do you got going on?
What do we have going on, Wendy?
We have a whole bunch of things. We're going to talk to Dean Richards, and I have been involved in this neighborhood watch program where I am like the new Gladys Kravitz, so we'll be talking about that.
Oh, you're very smart.
Oh, you must love this, then.
I do love looking in that building.
Looking at people's houses.
Yeah, there's a lot of bad housekeeping going on. That bed has been unmade since I was here on Sunday.
Yeah, I know.
It's not good.
I would like to know.
Do you ever see who's in there?
Yeah, we see them in the morning. They sleep. But yeah,
it's been unmade since I was there on Saturday.
Wow.
But you're absolutely right. Hello. We see them leave the house, so they're not making the bed.
Housekeeping.
Yeah.
Bill Leff is concerned about the floor that has all the bicycles. He thinks that somebody is stealing bicycles. And
that
then,
makes sense.
Yes, because you can see them all.
Our two favorite guys is one building over, you got the shirtless guy who eats cereal.
Nice.
And then like five floors up from my sight line, there's a guy in a long white robe that exercises super slow and then sits down.
That's great. So,
when you're wearing a robe, you have to go slow or you get caught.
Right?
Flip over.
Right.
Maybe he's doing Lilius Yoga and You. Do you remember that show that was on Channel 11?
I think that was too slow for that.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
See you tomorrow in Lyle.